from the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, or good morning, as the case may be, across all these many, many, many time zones, stretching from the Pacific, where the Hawaiian Islands, the Tahitian Island chains, languish in the sun and the trade winds, all the way east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north, all the way to Santa Country at the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. Lots to do tonight. In our first hour, we're going to talk with Michael Holm, the genius behind Cusco. And then we're going to talk to a witch. As we approach Halloween, we begin doing shows oriented toward a bit of the darker side. And believe me, this one may match up tonight. So that's the schedule for this evening. Prepare thyself. You're hearing. This is Cusco. This is the latest from Cusco. It's called Ghost Dance. It's on a CD called Upuramac 3. Nature, Spirit, and Pride. And the genius behind it is a man whose name is Michael Holm, and he comes to us right now from 9 time zones away, Bavaria in Germany. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. I'm very happy to be with you tonight and say hello to all the listeners.
Well, there are millions of people out there, Michael, who have come to know and love your music. I am one of those millions. And I guess the first thing I would like to ask you, Michael, is how you developed and conceived of the project for Upuramac 3. How did you come up with this music?
Art, we all the time, Christian Schulz and my partner in Cusco and I, we all the time try to first give ourselves a story, a theme, then we go into the stories around, and then out of that, we create music. Means regarding Upuramac 3, we read a lot the North American Indians. I visited all those places from Sedona to Taos to Arizona and try to understand that the American Indians are not only plain Indians, that there are many, many tribes with huge diversity of culture, and all this in mind and reading and listening to stories, then it creates at the end those melodies like on Upuramac 3.
And you forgot just one place. You also came to Pahrump, Nevada. Actually, Pahrump is a Native American name as well, which means yes. Big water, and we hosted you out here, and you were nice enough to name one of your songs, Pahrump, Big Water.
It was a great evening.
On the new CD. I'm so sorry you didn't get to see me this last time. I came down with a terrible cold, which I still have, after coming back from Europe, and everybody should know that you just arrived in Europe, back in Europe.
Yes.
When did you get back there?
2 days ago, I arrived in High Bavaria, and at the moment, it's very early in the morning.
Very early. What time is it there?
About 15 past 7 in the morning.
15 past 7 in the morning. So the sun is up, and is it going to be a nice day?
Not yet, no.
The sun is not up yet?
We are going slowly. We are dripping into winter time, so early evening and late morning.
I see. Well, do you Do you go into some sort of, you come and you visit the American Southwest and you try to learn as much as you can about the Native American. Then what is the process you go through to actually create the music, to in your mind, to create the music? How do you do that? Do you do some kind of concentration or what?
It depends. It's different ways that you start to create music. For instance, I have a theme in mind, an idea. I want to write, for instance, about a song. It was a must for me to have it about the buffaloes. Only I never seen buffaloes before, so I was reading and looking at pictures. But at the end, the idea, the melody idea, came to me when I, in January, was in Denver at the very big Stockholm show over there, and a friend of mine, Chuck Sylvester, gave me the possibility to hang around, let's say that way, to hang around with the buffaloes for 2 hours, to look at them, to admire them, and that was the idea.
And then, do you create the music at that time, or do you then go home and sit down and think about everything you saw? And does the music, you see, I don't understand the creative process that really makes the music, Michael. Do you just sit there and wait for a tune to come in your mind? Do you sit at a synthesizer or a piano and start playing with notes, or how do you do that?
No, the ideas directly I had when I was looking to the buffaloes. Then I have it in my mind, and then I hum it to myself a couple of times, and I never will forget it. And then, of course, at home, I work out the harmonies and thinking a little bit of arrangements, how it should start, how the dynamic and the tension of the production and the song should go. But the general idea was there, looking, admiring the buffaloes.
That's an amazing thing to me. I perhaps have my own little bit of creativity, but it's very different, and I have a very hard time understanding how such great works can just sort of pop out of your mind. That's an amazing thing to me, Michael. It's an amazing talent. How long have you been doing this?
I work in music since 32 years, so I developed something like a creative technique over the years. For instance, another way, very often I go out in the country with my horse, and before I prepare myself to think, to create, to compose a title, and then in the saddle while riding, it comes to my mind. Like, for instance, the Ghost Dance more or less is composed on the saddle of Katshara, of my horse.
Ghost Dance is a very, very, very special tune. I have played this for several friends of mine who are Native Americans, and they begged me, when I had the only copy of it, they begged me to give them a copy of it, and I would not turn it loose because I had promised not to do that. All right, Michael, there is much more, of course, to your third CD in this series than Ghost Dance. So what about the rest of it? What did you do? How did that come to you? And how did you get Pahrump? I want to know about Pahrump.
Pahrump was by thinking of the great evening that we had together, you, Ramona, my agent, the lady Sharon from High Octave. That was really a super evening with a lot of talking, a lot of giggling also. And so I tried to put this atmosphere into the song. But, for instance, we also write together, Christian Schulz and me, like for The Hunt, if you remember that title. We were sitting a whole afternoon together, and nothing, something came out, but nothing that was exciting us. And while going out of the room, the musician's room, I started to hum this. So Christian said, wait a minute, what is this? Oh, yeah. So he went back to the piano. So we started with this phrase, and in about 10 minutes, the hunt was done.
All right. I have said of your music, and I really believe it, that it is a complete revolution. It's a complete change. In the same way the Beatles changed music, you have changed music, and I am in awe of this. And it's not just this latest CD, but all three of the Cusco, the now trilogy. It's just a revolution. And so I would ask how you even envisioned this complete change in music, how you came to this.
I worked a long time in music the normal ways, and I kind of was ready to go in a new direction, to have a music that is very personal and that is not new, not in the way to create some crazy, unheard stuff, no, new in the way of giving a lot of heart, a lot of tension, put it into the music, and which today some composers maybe forget, looking for a melody. I'm all the time looking, searching for a melody. This is very important for me in the next step, to get the right groove down under the melody. And either it is a matter of experience or of instinct, but this is, I think, the special quality of Cusco.
All of your music has a melody, for which I am very, very thankful. A lot of new music, Michael, both in Europe and in America, seems to have no melody at all. And it may be that I'm just showing my age, I don't know. But it's very hard to listen to. Some of the new music for me is very hard to listen to without a melody. Would you like to comment on what you hear in today's new music?
Yeah, there is definitely in large areas of modern music, there's definitely a lack of melodies. Only to think back of the 60s and 70s, when there was the rock, pop music was full of unbelievable, mm-hmm. exciting mm-hmm. melodies. I don't want to put any kind of different music down. There is a need for this kind and that kind. And if you more into only grooves or rap stuff or techno stuff, why not? Only I do the music. I try to write the music that is the closest to me, that I would love to hear myself, and only I can hope that after delivering an album, there is an echo in the audience.
Well, when I listen to some of today's music, I don't hear something that you can tap your foot to, or that you can sing, or that puts a certain rhythm in your brain, but instead it seems to express anger or some a great negative emotion, and that is not the way music used to be at all. So there has been a big change in music.
Yes, and you come now to an issue that is very important for me, and that is one of the, I think, fundamentals of Cusco. We want to create a warm music, a music that builds you up, that gives energy to you. Want to tell our stories, our historical stories, or express our love to nature. And there is a different attitude, for instance, when you are full of anger and full of aggression and try to express this with rhythms and with singing or with destroyed melodies. There's a place, I think, for every kind of music. Only Cusco is more the music that builds up, that caresses your heart and your soul.
Again, back to creativity, because I've always been very interested in that, Michael. Some days when I come to do my radio program, most days, it's very easy for me. It just comes. You know, naturally it comes. And it's like playing. It is not like work. Some days, a few days, when I come in, it's almost impossible, and everything I do is very, very hard work, and I have to push myself to do it. Is it like that with writing music? Some days it just comes very easily. It's kind of like the hand of God has reached down and given you an okay, and everything you do is gold, and other days nothing will come?
Art, it's exactly, now you're describing the creative process. It's exactly the same way.
Yes.
Sometimes it just flies into your mind, and sometimes you have weeks and months even that you suffer and that you have the feeling you never will write a good tune again. And in that time, during those frustration times, you build up ideas, I think, that later on, like a volcano, you can spit out. So it's never a safe thing to be creative. You have your high times and your down times. And it's important that at your high times you try to work as much as possible, because you know the wave will be gone someday, and then you have to walk through the desert. And that's all the time when I'm finished with an album, then I feel a little bit empty, and it needs a couple of months that I fill up my inner generator, something like that I'm ready to, really hungry to write again.
Yes. Did you know the moment that you wrote Ghost Dance that was as big a song as it was going to be?
Pretty much so. I had this idea from with the changing grooves, first as coming from the plain Indian groove, and then going into this into the other rhythm direction, and I visioned yes, this should be fantastic, this should be great.
Again, back to creativity, there are some artists, Michael, who say they write their best music when they are at their lowest moments, or when they are at their most emotional moments, and when everything is fine and going well, they have a very hard time writing music. What do you say about that?
It has to be that way with me also, years before. With Cusco, I cannot say so. It is more coming up with the vision, coming up with the story. What will be the theme of the next Cusco album? And in the working about the themes, in the reading and seeing places and the talks and listening also to music of the specific crowd that we want to describe, by that it is pretty normally, pretty steadily, the ideas flow towards the record.
All right. Michael, hold tight if you would, please, and we'll be back to you after the bottom of the hour. We're talking with Michael Holm, Cusco's Michael Holm. What you're hearing right now from a Burumak 3 is a little song called Pahrump, Big Water. And from Pahrump, I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Art Bell is taking your calls on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. That's area code 702-727-1295. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and with Michael Holm, the man whose great mind has created the music that you're hearing right now. In fact, if you have a question for Michael, you're more than welcome to call now. You might like to know, when we go on cruises and we give away various items from sponsors, when we get to the Cusco CDs, a great gasp always goes up in the audience. And a great hush falls as we read the numbers. It's absolutely enchanting music. There's no question about it. And we have here from Bavaria, and we'll let him describe where he is in Bavaria and what kind of atmosphere he lives in that allows the creation of this music in a moment. If you have questions for Michael, I think we'll do that this half hour. Now, once again, all the way back to Bavaria and Michael Holm. Michael,
yeah.
if you wouldn't mind, give everybody some kind of sense of what it is like where you live in Bavaria. What is it like there?
Well, I'm living about 50 kilometers south of Munich, more or less pretty much in the middle between Munich and the Alps. There is a little village called Weilheim. And my place, it's a farm, is about 3 kilometers outside of this little village. We do an organic farming. We have horses, 24 horses, and a little crops. And we have 5 dogs, and we live here a very beautiful country life. Big garden in the summer, fruits and herbs and everything, tomatoes, cucumbers, everything comes out of the garden. And we sell our crops. We need the straw for the horses, and we make our own hay. So we are pretty much self-content.
Boy, that sounds like a wonderful life.
It is, Art, it is a paradise. And again, I invite you together with Ramona to see the place and to come to Iberia.
We would love to do that. We would love. Many people, obviously, who are fans and would like to ask you a few questions, if you would not mind. All right, let's give that a try then. On the wildcard line, you're on the air with Michael Holm in Bavaria. Hello there.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Thank you.
Call the wildcard lines, area 702-727-1295.
I didn't get
that. No, that's right. It's not necessary that you understand what he asked at all. He's just a foolish person, Michael. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Holm in Bavaria. Hello.
Hi, this is Troy from Milwaukee.
Hi there.
I was wondering if there's going to be a Paramac 4.
Very good question.
And if there is, so what about a Polynesian feel?
Okay.
The Apurimax series pretty logically is describing, or the try of a description, of a personal description of old cultures, especially the Indian cultures. So coming from the Incas in Apurimax 1, going to the Mayas, the Aztecs in Apurimax 2, and now consequently being at the North American tribes with Apurimax 3. So, yes. My company, High Octave, they already were asking me, what about Apurimac 4? Do you have any idea? To be honest, at the moment, I have no idea, but if we would come up with Apurimac 3, which Indian tribe could we describe? That is my question. Then it would have a logic if we have another idea what to do musically with the Indians.
Well, he was suggesting perhaps Polynesia or the South Pacific.
I didn't get that. Okay, I mean, that's a matter of sneaking a little bit into the music and into the culture, and maybe also definitely going to Polynesia, to those islands, maybe then something comes out of it.
Maybe so, and even if it doesn't, it would be a very nice trip.
you poisoned me. Yes, you told me some great stories about this, these areas. I plan sooner or later, minimum, to go to Hawaii, because some people told me there is a bay where 50, 60, 100 dolphins come, and you can swim with them, and this is one of my dreams to experience.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Holm in Bavaria. Where are you calling from, please?
Oh, hi, Arthur. Hi, Michael.
I can barely hear you, sir. You're going to have to really yell at us.
Hi, Arthur. Hi, Michael. Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit better. Where are you?
Sitting on a very small island way out on the west coast of Canada.
Okay.
Just in a corner of heaven here. We call it Kayak Heaven.
Okay.
Part of it. I just listened to the last caller, and I had a similar kind of inspiration for you, Michael, what you would ponder on for your next inspiration, and I'm hoping to inspire you maybe with a little bit of Mother Ocean. You know, it's very worldwide. The salinity of our blood is like the salinity of the ocean. The way we're built, the way our hair grows, I could go on and on. Maybe you already know a lot of it yourself. And Polynesia and all the rest of the world would be connected. Maybe sit by the sea in various places and get that earth rhythm about it.
Well, that's a very good idea. So, again, the same sort of suggestion, Michael, the water,
yeah,
the ocean, Polynesia, that part of the world.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a logic. Maybe the audience knows the logic better than we at the moment. But since we are very attracted to the dolphins, so we should consider not only the dolphins, the whole ocean, and maybe by digging down deeper into that idea, we will come up with something, some music. By the way, I was extremely excited. This time I made a little travel from San Francisco to Mendocino, and cut from the 101 to the one through the rainforest, and redwoods, and this was a very, very special moment for me. Those redwoods, they really got on me. They, I felt like in God's own cathedral. It's so beautiful, and I think this could be also something that could inspire us very much.
The redwoods are very,
yes,
very special place, no question about it. First time caller line, you're on the air with Michael Holm in Bavaria. Hello there.
Hi, Art. This is Wayne in Pocatello, Idaho. Listen to you on AM 1490 KRCD.
Yes, sir.
And my question for your guest is, first, I'd like to compliment him for such wonderful original and dynamic chord changes and wonderful rhythms, the percussion and the. Do you, Michael, use a keyboard for everything, or do you use original flute for all your flute ensembles?
We use a lot of the flutes that. Are, for instance, our trademark, something is the old Moog, the mini Moog. That we have this specific flute sound, special worked out, of course, from the mini Moog. We use also samples and a lot of natural flutes, but often I experienced, for instance, the title White Buffalo on the last album, Apurimac 3, where we had about six flutes from samples or from synthesizer and four natural flutes. And at the end, in the mix, I mixed away the natural flutes besides the very ending, the last eight bars of the song, because they didn't sound so exciting in the phrasing and in the sound that that they could compete with the other instruments. Very funny. Only at the end, then the warmth really is taken over, and therefore I left it. But the excitement of the Moog flute and the Semper flute was bigger for me than the natural flute.
Okay. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Michael Holm in Bavaria. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Mike. I was in Costa Rica. That really...
Mike, you're going to have to speak up for us. Where are you now?
Oh, yes. I'm in San Diego.
Diego now, not Costa Rica.
No, okay. But I was in there, and that really inspired me. It really inspired me to listen to Howard Stern and Baba Booey.
Well, I don't know how it would be so, because while he might be in Canada, he's not in Costa Rica. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Holm. Hello.
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 My name's Anne. I'm in Muskoka, Ontario, Canada.
In Canada, okay.
Yes. Michael, one of the things that every time I hear your music, it's almost like you get a feeling of happiness and joy through the music that is really very, very rare. And I was wondering if you're the kind of person that gets up early in the morning and watches the sun come up. I have studied a lot of classical music, and you almost seem to have a minuet going on in the background with the melody. But the images that the music produces are so adaptable that I'm hoping maybe in the future you'll see maybe children's cartoons with your music in the background telling stories and things like that. Do you have any plans for the future?
Oh, that's interesting. Have you done any work with television, Michael, providing backgrounds for things like children's shows and that sort of thing?
Not so far for children's shows, but for big natural series in Germany. It was called Seemann 2000. It was 13 episodes, 45 minutes long, about nature, changing of nature to worse or to better. And that was a very exciting project. Never up to now anybody offered me a children's project, but I could imagine that it's a lot of fun to work for children, to write music for children, along with a cartoon or a children's movie.
She also asked if you're the kind of person who gets up and watches the sunrise in the morning.
Yeah, never. Today, for instance, now the sun is slowly rising. Sometimes I'm a guy who is very early out, and not regularly I watch the sunrise, but since I watch it, then I enjoy it.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Holm in Bavaria. Good morning.
Well, hello.
Hi there. Where are you?
I'm in the Redwood Empire up here.
Oh, he's right in the middle of the Redwoods, Michael.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Holmes. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
I tell you something. You are in a very magical, special, spiritual place in the world. And I'm promised myself I will... Hopefully, I will find a guide to make a horseback ride through the Redwood, because I think that this area will speak to me very intensely, and I will have a lot of ideas doing a travel, a ride, or a longer walk through the Redwood.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. Actually, one of the reasons I was calling is they're planning on cutting down just about all the virgin redwood forest up here at Headwaters.
Yeah, that's a tragedy. I read about it. This is a shame and a tragedy and a crime. And what can you do? Only maybe collect money all over the nation and try to buy as much redwood land as possible and preserve it that way. But otherwise, the economical interest will be bigger and stronger than the need for serving this unbelievable, beautiful, spiritual area in the world. I mean, a shame.
That's the sad truth. Well, I enjoy your music. It's a pleasure speaking to you.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Maybe nature itself. Now, I understand that nature is part of the subtitle of... Permac 3.
Yeah.
But maybe nature itself carries a theme that would be proper for your music.
Nature and history. I mean, those are the two themes that are fertilizing our music. The love of nature, to animals, and the interest in the human history, in the beautiful and horrible stories that you can get out of the history of the past. That is, yeah, more or less the foundation of the spirit for Cusco.
All right, East of the Rockies, you are on the air with Michael Holm. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Where are you?
I'm in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
My name is John.
Yes, John.
Michael?
Yeah?
Have you ever been in Yellowstone?
John, I never been to the Yellowstone, but this is also one of the places that definitely I want to see. I've seen a lot of videos, respective also in German TV. They showed a lot of features about the Yellowstone. And, yeah, that's definitely a place for me to be.
I was born in Cody, Wyoming, and you need to go to the Bighorn Mountains and through Yellowstone. It's beautiful country.
I think that's a wonderful suggestion. I have one other question for you, Michael.
Yeah.
I take it your music first began in Europe. Is that correct?
It began to be created in Europe, but the success of Cusco started in Japan.
In Japan?
And then moved over to Korea. And then moved over to the United States.
Well, I was in Europe just a few days ago.
Yeah.
And there was a great deal of music that I heard that I never hear over here. And I wonder why the world does not share more music. Some of the music I heard in Europe was very innovative and new and quite good, and it's not here. And the same thing goes for Japan. Why does the world, except in your case, not share more music?
Yeah, that's a matter of the radio programming and TV programming. If people don't hear music, then they cannot decide to go for it.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm sure proud to have been part of introducing Cusco in this country, and I too am very curious about and looking forward to already Cusco and Apurimac 4.
Well, thank you very much for your appreciation and for the kindness that you all the time treated us. And I'm very curious what will happen. At the moment, I have no idea, but this is also part of the fun that when you spend before a new project, you have no idea what will come out, and then slowly the ideas unfold, and more and more you go forward, and at the end there is a result, hopefully one that you love very much.
Well, the song that I'm playing right now behind us is the one that I use every night to close my program. I absolutely love it, and I love Cusco. And Michael, it has been such a pleasure having you on the program. And you've got a wonderful day to look forward to. And we shall get together, whether it's in Bavaria or Pahrump.
Definitely.
We will get together, my friend. I guarantee it.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And a big hello to you, dear Art and Ramona, and, of course, to your listeners and to fantastic, growing fan community in the United States.
Good night, or should I say good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, and for you, good night.
Yeah. Take care. All right, that's Michael Holm, all the way from Bavaria, the genius of Michael Holm, and you will continue to hear me play his music all the time. I heard it, I fell in love with it, and apparently so have many of you. If you listen carefully as the morning wears on, you will hear how you can get the music of Michael Holm and, of course, Cusco. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to do something classically strange. I'm Art Bell, and from the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Fax Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. Dial area code 702-727-8499. That's area code 702-727-8499. Please limit faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. Good morning, everybody. We're about to do something that may offend you. We're going to have a real witch on. Or maybe you'll say she isn't a real witch. Maybe you'll say she's a devil worshiper. I don't know. We'll find out. But if this sort of thing offends you, tune out now. This is your absolute warning. Tune out now. Otherwise, hang tight, and we'll all learn something together, I suspect. And we've got several announcements coming up. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I am going to do the only book signing I'm ever going to do for The Quickening. It's going to be in Encinitas. Every now and then I say another city by mistake, Escondido. It's not Escondido. It's Encinitas. And it's going to be at Barnes & Noble in Encinitas at 1040 North El Camino Real. Now, it is a brand new bookstore. So fear not if you have checked a map, which some people have, and haven't found it. Be assured, it is indeed there, and one of the largest Barnes & Noble bookstores in all of California. So, there it is at 1040 North El Camino Real. There I will be at 10 a.m. sharp on Saturday morning. My suggestion is to be there early. Now, I will sign books for no less than 10 hours. They will then put my hand, possibly my entire arm, in a cast and carry me away. But for 10 hours, I will definitely personally sign books. Now, the reason this may be important is because it is the only time I am ever going to do it. All right. Just before we go to our witch question mark, we're going to Denver very quickly for an announcement from Tim Cannon. Now, Tim Cannon, I think, is there have been elections in the Art Bell Chat Club organization, and Tim is now some sort of international. What are you, Tim?
International coordinator, Art, and the founder of the Art Bell Chat Club.
Well, of course, the founder, but I wasn't quite sure of what the international title was. And we are international now because I know we've got a chat club in London.
That's correct.
And that's good because we may soon be heard in London. Anyway, what's going on with the chat clubs?
Well, lots of things. We're looking at some spots up in Canada. And I've been working closely with Keith Rowland, and Keith is going to be putting, I imagine it's already up by now, the information about all the chat clubs, their locations, the coordinators for each chat club, along with a phone number in that area that they can, that listeners can contact their coordinator and find out when the next meetings are going to be.
Okay. Is there a phone number, a general phone number now for those who want to either coordinate or start chat clubs?
Sure. We've got a number here in Denver. We'll get back to you on that. That's 303 area code.
Right.
767-1778.
1778.
And we'll have someone return your call. And I want to take just a minute to thank Bob and Sue Crane, who's been really great sponsors of the chat club and supportive, Alan Corbis and David Masters up at the network, and, of course, yourself and Keith Rowland, who's worked very closely. We're celebrating here in the next week our first-year anniversary of the first chat club here in Denver, which meets at the Rising Phoenix Bookstore twice a month. And some of the guests that we've had, for those new listeners who are not familiar with what we do, basically we try to bring on lots of the guests that you've had on the show in person, and they come in and speak to us, and you have the opportunity to meet those guests and ask questions and listen to their presentation. We've had David John Oates, of course, Jose Escamilla, Ron Russell, Victoria Lillenquist, Alan Meese, Joyce Riley, along with many others. Keith Rowland is scheduled at our Phoenix Club here real soon, so if you'd like to get out and meet Keith, you need to contact the Phoenix Club and get the information about...
Keith is going to be a guest at the Phoenix Club?
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
That'll be terrific. But
I'd like to go down and see that myself.
You'd like to see that yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we do have a chat club in Las Vegas, and, of course, Los Angeles, Portland, Denver, all over the country now. And we're real proud of the first one that sprang up here in Denver at the Rising Phoenix. And tonight we've all gathered listening to this show. The first hour was great with Michael Holm and celebrating the 24th birthday of Curtis Miller, one of our chat club members and a great fan of yours. And so they've kept the bookstore open a little late so we can all gather and have a great time.
Well, Saturday is going to be my day at a bookstore.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was at the last one, and if it's going to be anything like the book signing up in Portland, it's going to be quite an event.
Yes, it should be something. Well, listen, my friend, let me get the number out again for anybody interested in forming a chat club or finding out, I guess, about the activities of the one in your area.
Okay.
It's area code
303-767-1778. And we're all waiting for the witch, Art.
Well... your wait is over.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Art.
Bye-bye. That's Tim Cannon in Denver. Now, I have been getting faxes and email all day long from people saying, don't do it, Art. Don't do it. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. They've even been sending faxes to Ramona saying, don't let Art do it. I got a fax, which I will read, minus any identifying information. Hi, Mr. Bell. I am 32 years old. My cover name is Harlot. I am a witch of the most unholy kind. I am by no means a goddess. I use no crystal balls, tricks, nor treats. I am from a long line of witches and warlocks and so on. If you'd like to call me, she supplies the number. The Coven of the Unholy, hail Satan. Now let me say, Art, I am a good witch by no means. Even if I do something that someone would consider good, I do with evil in my heart. Hail Satan. Well, you guys know me. I will put anything on the air. And that includes Malachi Martin, Catholic priests, people of the cloth, people of the church, and people not of the church, and many things in between. So here is Harlot. Harlot, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art.
How did you get your name Harlot?
I got my name Harlot because of how I live and what I do. I go around and I spread webs of deceit, and I adore myself in a very alluring fashion when I do these things. And I take great pleasure in finding a victim, laying my evil eyes upon him and bringing him into sinful joy. And if you go back into your scriptures and search them out, and especially in the Old Testament, a woman of my type would be called a harlot, and I take that strictly out of reference from biblical terms.
Okay. This fax, of course, shocked me and shocked a lot of people. A lot of people who have contacted me, Harlot, tell me you couldn't possibly be a witch.
I'm not surprised. I knew that that would be one of the first reactions. When I sent the fax, what should I say, when my fiancé sent the fax, you know, for many years it has been publicized in different newsletters and through television and through the media itself about what a witch is. If you search these things out, you will find out that even in the most medieval times, mm-hmm. that witches were of a more of an evil nature. We took great pleasure in setting great traps and being diverse, a very diverse heart, placing ourselves in a position to be looked upon as Satan followers. But what we do practice the art of witchcraft. What I am art is a satanic third and well, fourth generation birth witch. I am practicing an art and a faith that has been passed down through my family for generations. And all I can say to them is, if they don't think I'm a witch, well, that's their prerogative and, you know, so be it.
Well, those who practice what's called Wicca are the first to step forward and say, based on what you wrote here, you're certainly not a witch. And, well, and what do you say about the Wiccans?
Well, I'm not surprised. I have encountered many of them here where I live. I have encountered them over the span of my years. Even when I was a young child, I have pretty much been from coast to coast. I haven't made it from border to border yet. I'm one border minus, but I'm going to get there soon. And I have encountered them everywhere. And the thing that I find interesting about it is that once the topics have come up and once it becomes an open discussion, I'm always left standing alone. And I always get these little word-of-mouth things coming back from them, passed to this person, and so on and so on. But it seems to me I can't find one that's...
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Which?
Okay, I just hit the button because you used your first name.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, you don't care?
I don't care anymore.
You don't care?
I don't care. You can use my first name.
Really? All right.
Let's go with it.
I bleeped it, so let's unbleep it. Your name is Patsy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, boy, you're really sticking your neck out here.
There's Wiccans listening to the station right now, no more than about 8 blocks from where I'm live, and I'm tired of it, and they know who it is now, and they have an opportunity, and I welcome the opportunity. I am not going to bicker. I will not get into a rambling discussion about irrelevant things. I want to discuss relevancy here.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to say what city you're in?
Yes, I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. I am exactly 2 blocks from the Mormon LDS Temple.
Oh, my gosh. What, pray tell, are you doing there? In Salt Lake, that is.
Well, I came here, first of all, Art. I came here right about the latter part of 1989. I came here with a purpose, and that purpose was to deceive and to lead astray as many as I could. And I have for years, even through my childhood, reacted very strongly between issues considering God, heaven, Satan, hell. I am a full-fledged, totally devoted individual, a woman who serves Satan in her heart, and I take no, absolutely no regard for people's lives when it comes to me handing them pretty much on a silver platter straight to Satan and take them straight to hell.
Good Lord. there is a God, Harlot?
Art, I believe in the existence of an almighty God. Now, there is a difference between belief and acceptance. I do not accept God, the Almighty, as my God, or a God I worship, or whom I have chosen to lead my life.
So you believe, in other words, you believe in the existence of God, you simply don't accept him. The one you worship is the devil.
Right. I believe in the existence of God, but I deny him in my life, and I deny him to have any part of my life.
I have never met or talked with anybody who said what you just said. I have never. You're the first one, Harlot. Do you think there are many people like yourself?
Art, I know dozens. They are secretly motivating. We are a movement. and it is not just here, it is nationwide, worldwide. We proclaim and uphold all evil. We uphold Satan. We are children of the devil. And I want to touch on something here in a moment because I know what kind of reaction that just caused in people out there throughout America and other places.
Oh, yes.
We have a purpose. And that purpose is waiting for the time of the apocalypse, waiting for the time of the basic beginning of the end, during which that time, when that time occurs, we will raise our ugly heads more notably, more publicly, bent on one thing, and that is establishing our rule on this planet.
The rule of Satan, the rule of...
Yes, sir.
Who is Satan, Harlot?
Satan was one of the greatest of all angels in the kingdom of heaven at that time. Oh, son of the morning, if you will. Beauty,
mm-hmm.
Vast intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Satan, in our minds, and we're not afraid to say this, and we're not afraid of what God's going to do. What God does is what God does. We believe that the reason Satan was punished was because of the simple fact he had awakened himself to God's plan. If you go through your scriptures and you find out in the beginning with Adam and Eve and so forth and so on, their eyes were pretty much closed, only opened to what God wanted them to see at that point. And at that time, Satan decided that that was not right. Why close the eyes of human beings? Why not let the human race know good and evil? Let the human race begin to gain knowledge,
okay,
of all things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sure. There's good and there's evil.
Mm-hmm.
But why would anybody, and I can only ask you because you're the only one here, why would anybody, knowing the difference and understanding the difference between good and evil, choose evil?
Well, Art, it was basically something that was chosen for me from birth. I had a very odd mark on my body when I was born. My mother, at that time, was very suspicious of the mark that was in a place that, well, we're not going to go there.
Okay.
Very feminine place, okay?
Okay.
And it bothered quite a few people. That mark began to slowly disappear as I grow older. I still have it, but not in the fulfillment of that it was at birth. And my grandmother, which is my mother's mother, had known for a long time. I think the reason my mother was really disturbed by it because I don't really believe that she could understand the concept, and which is going to lead into something very interesting that I would like to share, and that's how this got into my family blood to begin with.
And how long ago?
Long time ago. We're talking way, way back. Way back. And it was due to the simple fact that of starvation and different things. And I'd like to touch on that in a little while. But first, Art, Satan, in our eyes, is the primordial son of God. We accept Satan as the son of God. Jesus was a great person in his own right and so forth. And within the Christian faith, the Savior, the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
So on.
Yes.
We do not recognize Jesus as being the outright Messiah. We do not. We recognize Jesus as more of a prophet, a healer, someone of great knowledge, and if you will, another virtual son of God serving another purpose.
And then so Satan is the one that you regard as the legitimate son of God.
In my opinion, yes, he is my God. He is my Savior. He is my way. He is my truth. Hail Satan.
Okay. Hold it right there. My guest is Harlot. She says she is a witch, the coven of the unholy. And I think she means every word she says. We will, of course, get the lines open. And as you can tell, this is going to be a rather interesting evening. In a way, it's kind of like interviewing Charlie Manson. We'll be right back.
Talk with Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM from outside the U.S. First, dial your access numbers to the USA. Then dial 1-800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
And once again, here I am. My guest is Patsy, otherwise known as Harlot. She wasn't going to give her name, and suddenly at the last moment she's decided, I guess, the hell with it. She's going to use her name. This is going to be very interesting, and I'm going to tread fairly cautiously here. And I said going into the break that it was kind of like interviewing a female version of Charlie Manson. Charlie Manson, I recall seeing interviewed in jail, and I thought Charlie Manson was the antithesis of evil, and virtually said so in the interview. And you could feel it. You could just feel it when you listened to Charlie Manson. And as I listen to Harlot, or Patsy, I feel the same thing, don't you? And for some reason, I want to try to understand it, if I can. We'll see. All right. Harlot, welcome back.
Thank you.
Harlot, have you ever seen Charlie Manson?
Oh, Art, I respect Charles Manson about as much as I can go right now and pick him up and throw him through a wall. What we are prepared to do is going to make Charles Manson look like a Sunday school revival teacher.
Really?
But let me explain something first. It must be in the correct time frame. I'm talking very spiritual here. I'm not talking about just because there's a riot or if someone says something or does something. We're waiting for basically the Book of Revelations to begin to
unfold
in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate you, sir. I mean, when I first tuned into your show, and I remember well when you began talking, and you began talking about things that you call the quickening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how right you are. Oh, mm-hmm. How right you are.
Yes.
We're waiting for the fulfillment of that quickening, if you will. We call it the beginning and the coming of the apocalypse, the beginning of the end that is to come. We do not go out and do different things. There's no one in my coven that even uses a hallucinogenic drug. We do not allow it. There are no narcotics. No alcohol abuse allowed within the walls of this coven. Even in the private sect, in the private activities with the members of this coven, we do not authorize the use or sell or take part in any of that period. Absolutely not. It's not a part of our purpose. We are part of a grand purpose that is a very spiritual, if you will. Art, we have to have justification. We don't just go out and create chaos without cause. When someone gives us, or gives me, let's talk about me,
right,
that reason, I will resort to whatever means necessary to obtain my vital existence. Our own individual vital existences is what means most to us. If we are dead, or if we are strung out, if you will, how then can we
mm-hmm.
be vital to Satan's conspiracy? We are a part of the conspiracy that's going on in this world created by the hands of the devil. and we are going to do everything. We are hell-bent and hell-bound to uphold that conspiracy.
What is hell?
Hell is an eternal torment. It's an eternal damnation. And we freely accept the punishment, therefore, thereof. You see, even when I do a curse and I attack someone through a supernatural way, I don't use spirits, I don't use in-between creatures, if you will, to do my dirty work. I do my dirty work, and I alone take full responsibility of all my evil deeds and doings.
Well, it really goes beyond that. According to Wiccans that I've interviewed, when you put a curse on somebody or you do something evil to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
it comes back to you times 3 or 10 or whatever.
It can come back 50 times and I will find great pleasure in it. As long as my enemy is destroyed, I will find great pleasure in it.
Knowing that you are bound for hell, and I presume that you accept that or even embrace the fact that you are going to hell, is that correct?
Oh, I absolutely freely accept that fact. And I have no remorse in it. None whatsoever.
You describe hell as eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
How can you possibly, if I want to try to understand
okay,
the psychology,
okay,
how can you possibly look forward to that?
Well, it's not like I sit here in my house and say, okay, I'm ready, let's go. It's not that I'm like, okay, I'm going to dive into it. We take it from this. I choose to live by my human nature. And if my human nature is an abomination unto God, if I choose to live what in a biblical sense would be termed sinful, and if I live a sinful life, then I go to hell, well, I would rather go to hell with honor than go to hell out of ignorance. And I'm going to go straight to that bottomless pit. And when that key and what is done and what happens...
Harlot, I'm not sure that people go to hell out of ignorance. If they commit a sin
mm-hmm.
and they're ignorant of the fact that they're committing that sin, mm-hmm. there's no intentional evil,
mm-hmm.
then in my way of thinking about things, they wouldn't go to hell.
Well, the scripture, and I'm not going to start quoting, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to bring out how I use scripture and how this coven does in a little while. Ignorance. People will ignorantly go to hell. See, Satan, our wonderful master, is the prince of all evil, all trickery, deception. There's none greater. He will virtually make a person believe that they are worshiping God and living a right life, and in the essence, they never even know the eternal plan that God has laid out. That's one of our missions. See, I take great joy when someone tells me that they believe in God, but they don't live a godly life.
Mm-hmm.
I take great joy in seeing people like that.
There are many.
That's what I mean. There are people out there out of ignorance and lack of knowledge of the Word of God, of His Word. They lack the knowledge of it. They think, okay, I'm going to live a great life. And, you know, that's fine if they choose that because I welcome it. You know, they say, I live a good life. I'm a just human being. I do different things and do different things. But, ooh, the one God chose to be His Savior, did He not say, for many shall come unto me in that day, saying, did I or did I not, or did I do these things in thy name? Haven't I done all these great works in thy name? Haven't not I believed in you? And He shall say unto them, leave me, you worker of lawlessness and iniquity, for I have never knew you. Oh, yes, many shall go to hell out of ignorance.
You'll go there with a full understanding of why you're making the trip.
Yes, sir. I would. It's like this. When I was a child, Art, I remember the first time my family pretty much knew what I was going to do.
Let's do that. How did all of this manifest? How early did you know?
I knew the first time. I believe I was 7 or 8. That there was something awfully different about me. I was a child who, when I lived on a farm and I worked very hard, our family had a very large farm and different, you know, aspects of that. I knew there was something wrong. I was a child that when I would go out and work in the fields and I would help my parents in different things,
mm-hmm.
I despised sunlight. It wasn't so much because of the heat. It was what it was doing to me. I began to, as a child, without even having full knowledge of scripture, look up at the sky and curse God for having the sun so bright. I would seek shade. I would seek to lurk in shadows. I was a child that my parents could never keep me asleep at night. I would sleep in the daytime just wonderfully, and as soon as the sun began to set, I began to awaken and cause much chaos and havoc in my home. I remember the first time that I actually did what I consider my first experience with witchcraft. I had, living in the country area where I lived in Alabama at the time,
mm-hmm.
and living in that part of the world at the time, I had no exposure to a lot of magazines or a lot of different things from the outside that area, that small area, very desolate part of the state and different things. I remember just all of a sudden I walked outside and I walked into this nice, beautiful sand pit that I always played in, and all of a sudden it was like a shadow came over me, and I got up and I grabbed a stick. I'd never seen one. I'm serious here. I had never seen one. And I drew a complete circle. I put a pentagram in it. It's the face of the Goat of Mendez and everything. And I began to walk around that. All of a sudden, I sit right in the middle of it, and I closed my eyes. And I envisioned things that was going on with my father that day. I ran back into the house and told my mother that my father would be arriving late. And he had some business to tend to and different things to go on downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Way down the road, believe me, and that he would be late concerning issues, concerning what he was doing at the time with the farm and different aspects of business. Well, my mom looked at me kind of, did you talk to your dad before he went to work? This was the summertime. I wasn't in school. And I said, no, Mom, I haven't seen Dad since last night when he hugged me and I left the supper table to go to bed. Well, my dad got home at pretty much the exact time that I had told my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my brother and sister were sitting at the dinner table, and I heard my mom ask my father about these things, and my dad told her, that is impossible. How did you know? He didn't even call. She said, Patsy came in here and told me. Well, it got quiet in the kitchen. Well, I found myself 2 days later getting my bags packed and sent off to my grandmother's house.
And this was at what age?
13 at this time.
13?
Right, I was 13 at this time, right.
And this was only because you had predicted your dad would be home late?
Yes, sir. I got sent to my grandmother's house, and then that's when she came out and had an old photo album and a lot of letters and a lot of things that were written a long time ago. And that's when I first discovered the bloodline in my family relating to being satanic and being a witch.
What was there in your bloodline? What is the history of your family?
Oh, very evil and very brutal. There was a member of my family that was a warlock way back. And there are some things, Art, I don't want to get too in-depth in for the protection of a lot of people that my family tree has affected. Can you understand that, sir?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It all began way, way back, and I'm not going to go with an actual date. I'm just not going to do it. We had a segment of our family off of my mother's side that were pioneers, if you will, in their own right. They traveled a lot and different things, and it came to a point in time where things were just not going so well. They were running out of food and different things.
Yeah, you mentioned starvation.
Right. They came to a point to where it was virtually death was beginning as illnesses were beginning to set in. One of the members of the family, who shall remain nameless, because it would give away directly into the family tree, and I'm not going to do that, sought help from God. Well, things got worser. and as the days, and there was approximately 10 days here in a period, they began to look at each other, if you will, with eyes of, well, we're getting to the point to where survival is a necessity. We must live to carry on this bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members decided to hell with it and called upon the devil. As it was written and told to me, that there was a deal cut out with an individual who encountered my family, proclaiming the devil. This individual was a very mysterious person, from what we understand. They virtually, in pure blood, made an agreement that if they would continue and to bring forth a bloodline of witches and warlocks and so on and so on, that Satan would provide them with their needs. Well, the family is here. No one starved to death. Everybody began to flourish, make money. A lot of people in our bloodline became wealthy. A lot of us became very well-known and were very active in different political areas back in that area of the country at that time, even resulting even up to now.
Very interesting. I have interviewed, if you've been a listener to the program,
yes,
you know I've interviewed Malachi Martin, a Catholic priest, advisor to popes way up in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
He talks of people who are perfectly possessed, people who are wealthy, powerful, politicians, people who are very well-to-do, who are simply perfectly possessed, who have, in effect, made their own pact with the devil.
Yes, sir, that's absolutely 100% correct. See, when one becomes into the realm of our most unholy and great master, one must become to the realization of the conspiracy of the devil. You see, we conspire to gain vengeance for our master being cast out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There is no forgiveness of any kind. There is no mercy in our faith. Our master seeks to have victory over God, and by that meaning his people, to wreak chaos, to create havoc, destruction, violence on this planet, to take many as he can away from the arms of God, away from God's kingdom. That is our purpose. Our main goal is not to play, okay, incantation this, spell this. Yes, we do those. And believe you me, when you do it from a satanic point of view, oh, these Wiccans could only understand if they only knew. That's why I'll challenge them. I'll give my address right now, and you can send 1,000 to my back door.
No, don't give your address.
I know, but I wouldn't mind if 1,000 of them showed up at my back door right now. It would give me great pleasure, great pleasure in that. When one begins to understand what the main purpose and the main goal is, a sense of reality begins to surface its ugly head. And the reality is simply war. We war against the holy and God. As God's people, war to obtain peace and to uphold that which God has set on this world, the foundation that God has built, that they must uphold it, for we must uphold our end of the almighty plan.
What is the plan of Satan? What does he want of this world? Does he want this world to be?
His kingdom. His virtual world. His heaven, if you will. You see, vital existence, Mr. Bell, is so important. And to be vitally existing on this planet means that this planet must become vital. And which is leading me into something here that, is really going to set the fires a-burning. We do not, and I repeat, we are the ones who do not pollute this earth. Through governments and through the foundations that have been set, it seems almost like today that unless a political person who's wanting to get up into the hierarchy of politics and government control, if you will, almost seems to have a Christian background of one way or the other, a morally correct, godly point of view, if you will.
All right, Harlot, we're at the top of the hour. Hold on. You've got a good long rest here, and we'll be right back. And when we do come back, I think I'm going to be tempted, perhaps bad choice of words, to ask how many of our politicians have made their pact. She'd be the one to know.
Her hair is hollow gold, lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. And she'll tease you.
Talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies. Dial 1-800-825-5033. That's 1-800-825-5033. Now, here again is Art Bell.
My guest is Harlot. Her real name is Patsy. She said, go ahead and use it. She lives in all places, but you're not going to believe this, in Salt Lake City, Utah. She is a witch, she says. She is a follower of Satan, she says. I have never interviewed anybody who makes these claims, so I wouldn't be qualified to judge the credibility of anybody who would claim to have such following. It's absolutely incredible. We will get back to her in a moment. All right. Patsy, are you there?
I am still here.
All right. Would you prefer, by the way, to be called Patsy or...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter one way or the other.
All right. There is going to be, I believe this, that there's certain... I believe personally that there is a good and there is an evil.
Mm-hmm.
And hence there must be a God. There must be... a representative of evil, and there is a constant battle going on. You believe that there will be an Armageddon, a final war. In almost all of Hollywood, Harlot, in almost all of Hollywood, when they depict these battles going on, it seems as though the dark side, or the devil, is winning. But in the end, of course, good always triumphs over evil.
Well, in the end, God will win. Whatever he is, which brings up a topic I want to talk about God and itself, Satan and everything being alien and so forth.
Well, if in the end God will win, mm-hmm. why does Patsy want to be on the losing side?
I have always, my entire life, had an incredible urging for the underdog, if you will. And when I mean the underdog, I mean the ultimate underdog. I feel in my heart what God did was unjustified and how he punished Satan. I feel that the structure of Christianity, the structure of the church, the structure of the godly belief itself is unjustified. I think that as human beings we are unfairly punished at the hands of a creator who is not perfect, who is very fallible and has made many mistakes along the way. Jesus said, every time I say that name, well, he said, "For the Father in heaven knoweth all things, past, present, and future." If you take that literally, then that means that God, literally himself, knew of everything the devil would do, that human beings would do,
mm-hmm.
from the point even beyond creation itself. I firmly hold to that. I firmly hold to that, that I believe that God is responsible and the blame. And if I, as a human being who opposes him and upholds the other side, if I myself could put God on trial, I would find him, if I could, as jury and executioner, guilty on crimes and be punished for crimes against this planet and the human race. I would find him guilty and condemn him to eternal death. That's how much I despise him.
Let me read you a couple of faxes before we get to calls. Hi, Art. So far, Patsy seems to be dead on and telling the truth. Can you please ask her the following two questions to test her? One, is there any connection between Satan and UFOs or UFO abductions?
Well, Mr. Bell, I believe that we are, and I believe that Satan and we all as a whole are descendants from a higher race of more intelligent and supreme beings that have, and I carefully use this word, evolved. We'll use that, evolved to a point of so far beyond our human flesh and bones and our puny human minds that, yes, I do believe that a lot of the abductions and UFOs are our creators, are our enemies, and I think these people, whether it be by the hands of God or by the hands of Satan, do have a right and do come to this planet to test, to experiment, and just see how far we ourselves have evolved mentally, not so much physically, but mentally. And if we are just to the point of preparing ourselves for the advancement of the human race to take us beyond the limitations that we have now, that were all the questions in the end will be answered when basically when we can build that ship, that vessel that physically will be able to transport us across the galaxy, across the universe, to other worlds, worlds of a higher intelligence, an evolution process that has taken those beings beyond the realm of the physical needs that we have.
All right, so your answer is yes.
In a degree, yes.
All right. And the second question is, since much of established Christianity considers Mormonism to be a cult and its adherents already on the wrong path, why are you in Salt Lake City? Is there a connection between your master and Mormonism?
I think that a lot of the LDS faith is dead accurate. Dead accurate on a lot of things. I don't particularly agree with them in the sense of proclaiming God as their eyes that governs their church. Right on their museum. I mean, I don't have no fear of this. Right on their museum down there, they have a pentagram. Right on their museum. There's a lot of things in the LDS faith. When I came here, I came into a situation to where I lived with LDS people. I came here with nothing, Mr. Bell. I came here to prove how an evil person can go into a society, embed themselves into the working order of that society, and use and take total advantage to get what I needed to sustain myself. I joined the LDS Church because at the time I needed a place to live. I will do anything. But yes, the LDS people are pretty good people. I like a lot of what that they do out there and how they motivate themselves to financial gain and to motivate themselves to working and doing what it is that they do. Mm-hmm. Until someone in that organization comes to me and says, okay, what we are is actually a part of what you are, then I will shake their hands and help them fulfill their goals and fulfill their promises. But as long as they proclaim God, they are my enemy. As long as they proclaim Christ in the form that they see him as, they are my enemy. As long as they do that.
All right. He ends up after those two questions saying, tough questions. So far she's answered everything like a fundamentalist Christian. I'd be very curious to see if she continues to tell the truth or covers up two of Satan's greatest lies.
Mr. Bell, mm-hmm. Like I said, I draw the line nowhere. Satan's lies are Satan's truths. He must lie. He must be deceptive. He must have a diverse heart.
And so then must you as a follower.
That's exactly right. We have a saying, by any means necessary, and we don't use that as a loose phrase or a term or something. It is reality with us. By any means necessary. I have went into churches, like I said, from coast to coast, and I have been to these churches, and I have sat in their congregations. I have become active in their churches without anyone ever knowing that when I went home, I worshiped the devil.
Why would you go to a church service? For what reason?
To lay seeds, to lay a foundation of evil. I take great pleasure in creating havoc in the life of a God believer in any form or any religion. I take great pleasure in it. Satan uses me that way. Art, I have left where I sustain myself with virtually nothing, alone, with only my cunning and my diverse thoughts, my wicked tongue, and hitchhiked alone, young woman myself, alone, across this country on interstates in the middle of the night in order to spread unholy seeds. And I have effected, sir?
I just shivered. You have hitchhiked across the country spreading evil in what form, Harlot?
Lust, adultery, fornication. I take great pleasure in destroying a family. I take great pleasure in, like I did right here, take a Mormon out of his home and put him in my lair, grabbed him, sucked him in. He lost a child and a wife, and he's living with me now, and I take great pleasure in having him lay on my unholy sheets by me every night.
Is he hearing this?
He's in the war room, what we call the black room, right now.
The black room.
Mm-hmm, that's where we practice unholy arts. As a matter of fact, my entire coven is here.
Across America, mm-hmm. Harlot, how many covens like the one that you have there exist, do you believe?
I believe that there are many, but I think a lot of them out of that they're not prepared yet to actually come out publicly. I think they live not so much in fear, but they're just not ready at that point in time to make a difference and to impact the area that they live in.
Why are you coming out publicly? Why are you ready to say all of this?
Because I have a purpose, and my purpose has been let known to me in visions. My purpose, I am being primed for an ascension. I have a ritual coming up here before All Hallows Eve that is of the most unholy kind. The only victim in this ritual will be me. I am the victim. I will be alive. No, nobody's going to behead me and nobody's going to do that. I will be alive. It is a part of my ascension. For years as a child, Art, I would cry in my bed at night. I would just cry in my bed, feeling sorry for the devil and what God did to him. As a child, I would wake up screaming in the middle of the night, hating God, virtually hating God for what he did to my master.
There are people, many, Harlot, who will say what you're saying represents not a religion, not a belief, not a worship of that devil that you say you worship, but rather a mental illness.
That's their prerogative. My parents, when I was, I think it was 18 or 19, did take me for examination.
Mm-hmm.
They took me to many doctors and many things. I was hooked up to more machinery than what seemed like, in my eyes anyway, than an auto body shop had. They did brain scans. They did different things on me and so forth and so forth.
And what did they come up with?
Well, I walked out of there with no pills, no nothing, and, well, what the people told my parents was two things. It's something that science cannot grasp at this time, or she's telling the exact truth. That girl is not holy by any means.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the doctors told my parents. It's on paper. My parents have it.
They took you to doctors. Did they take you to priests?
I eat them alive. I have walked into priests. I have sat and talked with them in conversations, and they know. They do not touch me. They do not pray over me. They just talk to me, Mr. Bell. They just talk to me, and we share feelings, ideals. We talk about reality with God, what's coming in the world, and Satan.
So you think, then, that you are, as we discussed earlier, that you are perfectly possessed?
Mr. Bell, in front of your audience, the millions, whatever are listening, Christ said something in his scriptures that I take to virtual heart, that Christ says, whoever denieth me before men, I will deny before my Father. I deny Jesus of my body and of my soul. And I deny him of a right to have any governorship over me, any authority over me. Period. I deny him the right of my heart. That way I will be assured that he will definitely, and I do everything in my power, each and every breath I take, I definitely want to be denied in heaven. I want the second death. When the numbers of the sands of their numbers are like the sands of the sea when they surround the encampment of the saints.
All right. Harlot, hold on. We'll be back to you. It's the bottom of the hour. I'll begin taking calls after this break. Because, believe it or not, I'm almost at a loss for words. Absolutely incredible. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell.
With Art Bell from west of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, dial 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. Now again, here's Art.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. I'm getting a number of faxes from people who say, Harlot is not this, or she is not that. And frankly, I'm not qualified to judge what Harlot is or is not. And I can't imagine that too many people out there are, but they think they are. We're going to turn him, what I'm going to do is turn her over to you here in a moment, and we're going to see where this goes. She claims to be a witch, a follower of Satan. And so far, according to what she said, I'm accepting it at face value. It would seem to me that's exactly what she is. Although we will continue to explore, and I will continue to try to form an opinion, which I haven't fully formed yet. At this point, I take her words at face value. Once again, here's Harlot. Harlot, are you there?
Yes, Art. May I say something before we go to phone calls, please?
Oh, sure. I've got a couple of questions for you, too, before
we do. I understand. Thank you, sir. First thing, I want to make short and sweet. I don't care one bit what anyone out there in the listening audience feels about me. I really don't. I know in my heart what I am. I have only began to express my evil. I haven't yet even began. I welcome phone calls from anyone, but the one I want the most, and because only it is relevant, and that's either a priest or a minister of any faith who will get on with me and discuss these things.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get that.
Oh, that's what I want.
How about some Wiccans? You'll get that, too.
I like to have them, and you can give them my address off the air, and I don't care if they drive 8,000 miles. I'd rather have them face-to-face.
No, let's not do that. We'll do this on the radio.
Oh, okay. Yes.
All right, a couple of questions.
Okay.
One. If Satan knows he will lose, even if he believes he is totally right and justified in what he's doing, then why does he not repent and be forgiven? Surely, he is intelligent enough to realize he is fighting a battle he cannot win, and also super intelligent enough to realize that the famous quote by Milton, quote, it is better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven, end quote, is utter baloney. Even if he believes he is totally right and God is totally wrong, God clearly holds all the cards. What is to be gained from continuing a fight against all odds? This useless war would be over in seconds if he'd just get a clue, and the resultant joy in the universe would know no bounds. No one, even he, is beyond redemption, beyond repentance, beyond forgiveness.
That's not the grand scheme of things. God needs an opposer. God needs it, or he would have never existed to begin with. It is almost like we could take this back to Adam and Eve. Why was the serpent allowed? Why was he allowed, period?
I've always wondered.
And the answer to that question is simple. He was allowed to do that because even in God's makeup of what he is, in his existence, in his essence, I find him to be more than just jealous now, but susceptible to boredom, susceptible to, well, if there's nothing for me to do here, then why carry on here? So what greater way to spice up the Cajun food, if you will, than to put a lot of pepper on the ground? Mr. Bell, Satan doesn't want repentance. He wants vengeance.
Vengeance.
It would be almost like, and I want to use this term loosely now because I'm such a big fan of it. It would almost be like Eastern Michigan playing at Nebraska next Saturday morning. There is no way at all that they could go in there and win that ball game. But what they can do is inflict enough damage on that team or that opposition, in order to effect what's coming down the road. Satan sees this opportunity, and he has seized this opportunity to damage God. And the way he's going to do that, and the way we are going to do that, by running with the devil, if you will, is by causing complete chaos and damaging the foundation of what God has built.
Now, you keep coming back to chaos.
Oh, yes.
All right. This is from Anne.
Mm-hmm.
In Middleton, California.
Nice place.
Art, your guest is not a product of Satan, but a product of the evils of the Catholic Church. Ironically, now let me finish. Ironically, the master she worships is an invention of the Catholic Church. We true witches know there is no such thing as Satan. True witches fear this kind of talk. The memory of 6 to 9 million dead during the Inquisition and the witch burnings is all too fresh. Humanity needs a break from hysterical Catholic fear-mongering. Whose side is Patsy really on?
Mr. Bell, I would welcome them to come here with their torches and strings to hang me up and burn me alive. See, that's what I told you on the phone when you called me that afternoon. Lack of courage, lack of responsibility, and lack of accepting the Father of all supernatural power. Relating to the evil side. I would welcome to be strung up. I welcome them to march up here, string me up, and burn me. I would welcome it because the essence of my spirit would be more powerful than. I do believe in reincarnation. It does exist. I know I've lived before. I have.
And will again?
And will again. And I will just go to another time to inflict more evil damage on another people in another time frame, and I welcome it. It's like an enemy, which I wanted to get to, an enemy of mine. Art, I don't care. I have no mercy, and I do not want mercy on myself. I do not receive mercy because I do not have mercy. When I have an enemy, I want that enemy to go down, and I don't care how I have to do it. If I have to resort to licking a dog, I will. If I have to resort attacking them, which I am going to bring up later on about soul journey and different things, oh, you bet evil people can soul journey. I have many times went in a state of sleep in different things and have left marks on my enemies. And I see fulfillment in destroying them. I don't care if it takes me 40 years and if I'm in a wheelchair, I will find them. And I will see their destruction if it's the last thing I do in my own eternity.
All right, let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Harlot.
Good evening.
Hello there.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Where are you?
I am in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, no, that's you. I'm talking to the
caller. Oh, I'm sorry.
caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, turn your radio off. That's number one.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, as soon as you get on the air, turn your radio off, because you'll be able to hear it on the phone anyway. All right, do you have a question?
Actually, I had an answer to your question as to which politicians had already made their pact with Satan. I have been studying witchcraft and the occult for several years, actually about 8 or 9.
And
I have discovered an insidious and heinous plot of Satan to try and rule over the world governments. And it involves, as you mentioned in an ad, I do believe earlier, about a coin that has two-headed eagles. That is one of the signs of Satan.
A coin that has two-headed eagles?
A double-headed eagle, yes.
Uh-huh.
That is a sign of a religion known as Freemasonry. And Freemasonry, most people in Freemason packs or Freemason lodges, which are all around the country and all over the world, would like you to believe that they're like a little group, like a little lodge, like a membership.
Mm-hmm. That does good things, good deeds.
Yes. In reality, Freemasons have a secret pact with the devil to go out and rule over the world and to bring Satan above ground on earth to be able to rule in complete monarchy.
All right. Do you have a question for Patsy?
Actually, I wanted to ask her if she was a Freemason herself.
All right. Patsy, are you?
No, sir, I am not. But what the gentleman has just said on the phone, I would like to thank him. I would like to thank him kindly, even though he was some things that I don't quite agree with, and that's what makes America wonderful. But he is dead on accurate to a degree, and I'd like to thank you, sir, whoever you are, very, very much, because, Art, the conspiracy lies deep in politics that you would not believe about the coin. Look who was in the presidency and the Congress and everything at that time. Look at the New World Order. Who brought that up for the first time? There's your answers. Go and seek these things out, America. Do it on your own. I'm not going to sit here and tell you. You do it for yourself. If you dig deep enough and overlook a lot of the red tape and a lot of the hogwash that's put in front of our faces on the TV and so on and so on, you will begin to understand that this conspiracy is very old, very, very old. In America, we are alive and well.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Harlot. Hello.
Good evening, Patsy, and hi, Art.
Hi. Good evening, sir.
This is Gazuki in Indian Springs. I got several questions, but hopefully I'll be able to get at least a few in. Do you have to snap out of it when you feel sorry for something or someone?
No. I never feel sorry for no one.
Okay. If the devil exists, as you proclaim, and I decided to invite him over by calling him a perilous pot of protrusive protoplasm immersed in dung, and he's likes nothing other than to search and destroy,
mm-hmm.
Why will he or won't he cause or not cause havoc for me in the living?
Well, sir, it all comes down to one thing. How do you feel about God?
Well, I believe in a God. I believe he is an extraterrestrial. What is your thoughts on that?
I believe that we're all descendants from beings of a higher power.
Okay, one more question.
And they are alien in essence. Yes,
okay,
sir.
One more question. Do you believe Clinton is the Antichrist?
I believe that President Clinton is doing what President Clinton should be doing at this time, sir. Exactly. I think that destiny lives itself out, and I believe that Clinton and all the presidents, as far as you can go back, have done their little part in establishing what we have today and what's coming in the future.
Well, when I look at politicians, Patsy,
uh-huh.
I have concluded over the years that to get to the Senate, to get to the presidency,
mm-hmm.
generally to get to high political office in this country, you almost have had to have made some sort of pact with the devil.
Well, you know, Art, that's true in a sense. You know, and I know it's true. A lot of what we see, and we've had presidents and different people in the Senate, as you said, sir, and so on, you know, we see a very moral background, if you will. I mean, and I know Clinton and his problems and so on. What I'm talking about, you know, this church group or this organization that they're affiliated with or so on and so on. A lot of times that is a screen because, like I said, I myself can walk into any church, and I mean anywhere because I have been through over damn near, 20 different denominations of faith. I have sat in their congregations. I have virtually almost become active in their congregations
mm-hmm.
without them even knowing who my master was.
Of course. Well, when you look at a politician, one who mm-hmm. has achieved very high office, Patsy, he has achieved it more frequently than not through lying, stealing, deceit, and I could go on. A lot of the qualities that you seem to honor.
Well, we know it's crooked. I mean, there was a time at a rally down in Louisiana that I attended one too, and it had to do with the oil companies and different representatives down there. And, well, I would just say one thing. At one time, I had a little bit of doings under the rats, if you will, with a certain group of people that has held the governor's seat in Louisiana for quite some time. Some people kind of outlying in that organization that I dealt with, and I'm not going to go any further there for their own safety, if you will, and different things. But yes, Art, you are 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
Politics is corrupt to the fullest.
All right. East of the Rockies, mm-hmm. you're on the air with Harlot.
Hello.
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 Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I just want to say that, yes, she's right. There is a conspiracy of evil, but she left out that there is also a conspiracy of good out there. That, and
well, I haven't
real,
left that out yet.
Real witches, not Hollywood hogwash.
Oh, please.
You are a faker.
Oh, please, sir. I tell you what, I would like for you to, I tell you what, I have, like I said, been from coast to coast. Don't be surprised if one of us doesn't creep up around a dark corner one night and just say hi and shake your hand and seem to be one of the most nicest human beings that you have ever met in the world. And in the end, their diverse heart will conquer you. That's just the bottom line. See, sir, if I had to get up in front of a congregation and preach about God, I would. If that meant, in the end of it all, upholding Satan in the end.
Well, I'm not talking about a church. See, I'm a practicing Wiccan.
Oh, goodness. Would you please come visit me? Can I give you my address? I would like to see you,
and
sir.
And what you are doing is trying to flame the fires of the Inquisition again. That's all you're trying to do.
What, are you afraid of retribution? Are you afraid of retribution for your acts? I'm not.
My acts aren't evil.
Well, still witchcraft.
Witchcraft is not evil.
Oh, okay. All righty then. You see, I run into this all the time. You know, sir, and I'm going to use some intelligence here. I'm not going to call you no name, but, sir, please do me one favor. Get some backbone. Accept the reality of what you're doing is not godly. Okay? Please do.
I'm not talking about God.
But, sir, I hope in the end that you don't, in
well,
a way.
Well, let me understand.
Go ahead.
You have accused her of being a fake. You say you're a Wiccan. What are you?
We practice a sort of nature worship, sir.
Oh, boy.
All she did was throw in some stuff from some Hollywood movies.
Oh,
she's just
please.
Trying to get some propaganda out there.
Oh, please.
Maybe not. I mean, in a way, I understand what she's saying, and I'm not, believe me, a long way from siding with her.
And I understand, Art.
But on the other hand, you're saying you're worshiping nature, and you're leaving out God. She's leaving out God and making no bones about it. You're leaving out God and trying to suggest you're kind of in the middle.
No, there is a God force. It's not like a physical being. Per se.
Mr. Bell?
Yes?
I would just like to tell that gentleman I hope he goes through it through life before he dies believing it. I do. Like I said, there are going to be those who go to hell out of ignorance and those who go to hell with honor, and I'm going with some honor, and so are my people.
So well, I actually understand what you're saying.
Right. I do. Sir, I really do. You know, there was a time that I so much despised the Wiccans to the point to where even without being an enemy, even without ever setting themselves against me, and they were laying on the ground bleeding, I would rather dump salt into their wound than actually give them blood. But, you know, in the general makeup of it all, they're silly. You know, at least, I'm not here, America, to try to Satanize America. That's not my duty. That duty lies within your own heart. And with the general makeup of the things to come, just like El Nino. Yes, we better all stock up on food, because this El Nino is the beginning of something even more grand to take place in the next 2 years. We have not seen hurricanes, and we have not seen the multitude of storms that are going to come down on North America and the world until 2 years from now. Just be prepared, America. Art is actually right. We better buy food, and we better stock up and prepare to make it the hard way, because this is going to be some hardships like never seen before.
Anything else, caller?
See, the Wiccans have had this problem for years.
Oh, please.
Because people like her have always come out and saying that witchcraft is evil and everything, and it's not.
Oh,
we want to help society better itself, just as any other religion of the right-hand path does.
Sir?
Yes?
In human nature for years, you know, I can almost understand this love one another, treating one another well, saying, you know, love nature, love the tree that's in your backyard. Yeah, we need them around. You better believe we need them around. But Wiccan isn't going to stop the destruction of this world. And by human nature ourselves, we are an aggressive race of people.
All right, I've got to ask you both to hold it right there. Interesting. We're going to break here at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back with Patsy, with Harlot. I'm Art Bell.
He went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on the fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you dare to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play a pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I've got a fiddle of gold against your soul, so I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." Johnny,
taking your calls in the Kingdom of Nye from east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. That's 702-727-1222. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now here again is Art.
All right, back now to Patsy, or Harlot, your choice. Here she is. Patsy, two faxes, two very different reactions.
Okay.
One, "Hey Art, I don't suppose you could open a cute cuddly cat lover's line after your satanic guest leaves, could you? I need to hear something that'll take away the heebie-jeebies she's giving me. Yikes, she is scary. I mean, really scary." And so there's one who believes, and here's one who doesn't. Patsy's position is laughable. In order to be a Satanist, you first must believe in the same God that Christians do. And that immediately shows that Patsy has no awareness of the truth of the universe. Anything else she claims to know is so much bunk. Patsy doesn't really have a problem with God. She obviously has a problem with Christianity and expresses it as a total and complete rebellion against it, much as the most virulent anti-smokers are people who used to smoke. I feel sorry for her and her waste of this life, and the baggage she most likely will carry to whatever comes after this existence." Bud in San Diego.
Oh, interesting. And as I light a cigarette and take a drink of my vinegar, most unholy drink that I have just made, very interesting. You know, believing in God. I think I made that point clear. I do believe in the existence of God. I just oppose him.
Did you ever, did you ever worship God?
There was a time in my life that, as we all have a free agency and a freedom of choice.
Yes.
I decided at one time, Mr. Bell, and excuse me, for the first time tonight, I am going to sit down.
That's quite all right.
Pull out a chair here. There was a time in my life that I decided to see if there was a chance that God could impact my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a little church home, and due to the embarrassment of that church, I will leave them nameless.
Okay.
I went there, and I attended for quite some time, and I mean some time. It wasn't like a couple of times, you know, I went to church and said, okay, here we go.
I understand. You gave it a good college try.
Thank you. Just in order to see, and I went there, and I learned, and I attended for months, and then I decided, well, let me see. Let me see here if I really do have a choice. Well, I did have a choice. And I went and I got before the place there where you kneel and ask for repentance of your sins and so forth like that. And
stay good and close to the phone, Patsy.
Oh, yes, sir. and to ask for repentance of sin. And I got on my knees in front of the what was established there in a well-structured church. And during this process, I was asked if I was actually prepared to give my life to God, to make a, if you will, the ultimate sacrifice, basically a symbolic sacrificing of yourself in order to pick up thy cross and carry it, if you will.
Yes.
I did that. And for a time, it seemed like, you know, there's something here. As it began to evolve to the point to where I began actually talking to people about God and working with different youth and so forth and so on, I began to notice little things in my life began to be demolished. I mean, hard. And I asked myself, you know, I know of the devil, but this is going too far. I found myself in a state of heavy sleep one night. It was the strangest thing that I have ever encountered in my entire life, this state of sleep. I awoke, partially nude, my bosom's hanging out. I'm laying on a sand, a kind of a coal, ash-colored sand. There was no trees. There was nothing there. And I remember looking over my left shoulder, and there stood an angel, a virtual angel. And this being looked at me on all fours in that dirt, in that sand. And quickly, with a rise of a hand, pointed upward. I looked up, and I looked into a light, the most incredible light I have ever seen. And a voice, a virtual thundering voice, said to me, I would never forsake anyone, but you will forsake me. And at that point in time, and this is, I'm not trying to sound too cliche here, a bolt of lightning came out of the cloud, and it hit so hard that I virtually bounced off of my floor out of the sleep state. I hit the floor hard. I was in a massive cold sweat. My entire bedding was, I could wring the water out of it.
So you were virtually just told you were a Judas.
And let me finish, if I may, please.
Yeah.
After that, I still attended church, but I began to go into a rebellious state within the church. I one time asked the pastor of that church a few questions right in front of the entire congregation, and everybody there turned their head and they looked at me with marvel. How could someone stand in their congregation and ask the questions that I asked? And pretty much my question was simple. Is God the liar? Doesn't God preordain everything? Well, as you can imagine, Art, that didn't go over well in the church. And I was asked to leave, and I left. For another few months thereafter, I still held on to a slim belief into the God order. I like calling it that sometimes. But it eventually became obvious to me that, no, you're not a part of this.
So then you really regard everything God is as a lie?
In a lie, well, the reason I asked that at the time, could I explain? The reason I asked that at the time was because of those words, past, present, and future. And the scripture saying that we all have the basic freedom to choose, the freedom to live our lives as we see fit. But in the end, you are going to receive either a eternal torture or an eternal fulfillment in heaven. And I ask myself, if I'm God, in which I at times do not have no problem putting myself in God's shoes, if I am God, would I have allowed this to happen this way? No, I would not have allowed it that way. And to read scripture and to see people praying and all these other things, I often wonder if it's not all from God's point of view. If God isn't the liar and the conniver, and our master Satan is the way, the truth, and the light of the world for all to follow and to have a fulfillment on earth and in his own kingdom. It's complicated, and like I said, I'm willing to dance any dance, period, as long as one thing happens, and that is that there is no exit from the dance floor. I have called many times here locally, preachers, and I have asked simple questions. I had one preacher tell me right in this city of Salt Lake that my questions regarding Adam and Eve, regarding Cain, and what people on earth existed when Cain was told to leave and go into the land of Nod, whichever it was, and to there he would begin to spring forth life, but he would be marked. Marked for who? That he would be a criminal, if you will, wanted in different things. Who was there? Who was on the planet? There had to be other life forms. I really believe there had to be. And God permitting incest, the only way that the earth could be populated without the use of another life form on this planet was by incest. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we are all descendants from the act of incest. And later down the road, when enough people got on earth, I guess God changed his mind and all of a sudden said, incest is no good.
All
but
right.
It was good enough for him to populate the earth.
I understand. First time caller line, you're on the air with Harlot.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, Patsy.
Hi there, sir. How are you?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Oh, couldn't be better at this time.
Okay, well, she's telling the absolute truth, and there's no question in my mind that Satan is with her in every single way. Not only that, but there's one thing that she isn't telling, and maybe she might not believe this. We'll see. Satan is here now. Satan is ruling the earth now. Okay.
Yes, sir. I agree with
there
you, sir.
There is no doubt about it. This is Satan's world right now. This is Satan's hour. Not for long, but it is his hour. And a lot of the callers so far that have called in is, you know, they're basically confused. She's not. She is prepared to die for what she's doing. She's prepared for her second death, and she knows it's coming, okay? She is willing, and she's accepted this. She knows there's nothing that's going to change that. She is not saying that Satan is going to win. She has denied God, okay? And in doing so, she has forfeited her chance for salvation and her chance for eternal life.
I would agree with that based on what I've heard.
Okay, now where the basis is, when the devil was thrown down to earth was approximately 1914. Art, you know that before World War I, there was no precursor. There was no identifying factor that would say World War I is going to start. We know that it started over the assassination of one man. Okay, when Babylon was crushed, there was a mention. I've been trying to research this for you, but I haven't been able to before we got on the air. When Babylon was crushed, basically it was foretold in a vision, a prophet to the king of Babylon at the time, that in 7 years, 1 year equaling, or 1 day equaling a year, that the beginning of the end would start. That equals to 2520. You minus 1914 from 2520, it equals 606, 607 B.C. That is the date in which Babylon was crushed. Okay? This is, without a doubt, the time of Satan. And
thank you.
I'm on the other side. I'm a believer in God. I totally 100% praise Jesus' name. And the best part of it is, I'm not going to be saved.
All right, let her say something.
Influx myself in this? Thank you, sir. Now, Satan has been on earth before 1914. I can guarantee you that. If he wasn't, well, I think you search scripture out and you'll find that answer for yourself. I agree with the caller. I agree with him 100% on what he says. And I do thank him. I do thank him kindly for saying those words, because I will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Caller?
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well,
this is our time.
I find it very unfortunate.
May I continue?
Oh, sure.
Sir?
I'm just responding to that.
Okay. I find it very grateful. This is our time. But the events that are coming, there will be also another time.
Yes,
and that
after the 1,000 years.
And when that time comes, our people will raise their ugly head. And like I told Mr. Bell earlier, what Charles Manson did is putrid in every form. It's just a sick human being. We're not going to hallucinate. We're not going to have people just run out and do our dirty work. We are all going to do our dirty work. And when the evil begins, we will have mercy on no one. You know, many times through biblical history, God's people failed. God had to punish his own people time and time again. This time, when this all takes place, they better had be on the right track. Because
oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about what you're saying
and
in terms
not,
of that 1,000 years.
And if they're not on the right track, the punishment that Satan's rule, when we do take our stand on this globe, and even more than you can even begin to fathom what we're doing now.
No, I pretty much know it.
Okay, I respect that. They had better be close to God, because believe you me, what's coming when that mark, and when you, the only way you're going to be able to trade for food or survive.
You're talking about the number.
Right, the mark of the beast. There's going to be a lot of Christians, and I'm not calling you Christians, please, I'm not directing you saying, okay, he's a Christian, and no one, okay, I'm just saying, a lot of people who believe in God will be put to the ultimate test in that day.
Right, we will have to die for that belief. There's
exactly.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Exactly.
Just like you, this is, you're talking to the light, I'm talking to the darkness, okay?
And I welcome
There's
the conversation.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And I welcome to the conversation, I really do. This makes more relevant sense to me than talking to a Wiccan.
All right.
Well, you
view her then as the real McCoy, sir.
Excuse me?
I said you view her as the real McCoy, that she believes what she is saying.
Take a look at her words, Art. I mean, like, she has already lied a few times in terms of she comes from a long line. She must now be referring to the fact of her reincarnated line, or her parents wouldn't have been surprised at the fact that she was drawing pentagrams.
Denial.
They would have caught her.
Denial. They were
denial.
In denial, sir, because they couldn't live with the fact that it was actually affecting them right there.
Can I ask you one question before Art goes to another caller?
Yes, sir. Feel free. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
My question is to you, from which line do you come from in terms of if it's not your birth parent's line, from which line do you come from? This
my
line
mother.
Of
my
of
mother's
witches?
Side of the family. It is my mother's side of the family. I said that, maybe I didn't make myself clear, but it was my mother's side of the family, not my father's. It was my mother's.
And because it is my mission to do so, I do pray for you.
Hello?
Did you hear him?
He said, pray what?
I said, because it is my mission to do so, I do pray for you, regardless of what you want.
And sir, with no, well, let me tell you, it won't happen now. I mean, it will not happen now, sir. You are my enemy, and if this was the day of the apocalypse right now and everything began, I would behead you.
All right, we're going to have to hold it right there. Patsy or Harlot, hold on. There will be more from the high desert. I bet you haven't heard anything like this before, have you? Because I sure haven't. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're hearing Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. International callers may reach Art in the Kingdom of Nye by first dialing their access number to the USA, then 1-800-893-0903, 1-800-893-0903. And you may fax Art by calling area code 702-727-8499. That's area code 702-727-8499. Please limit faxes to one or two pages. Now again, here is Art Bell.
Once again, here I am reminding everybody, and I guess I better do that before I run out of time. There's going to be a book signing, the only one I'm ever going to do, for the book called The Quickening. It's going to be Saturday at Barnes & Noble at 10 a.m. in Encinitas. Actually, at 1040 North El Camino Real in Encinitas, California. And I'd be more than happy to sign a book for you. And hope to see you there. That'll be at 10 a.m. We'll sign books for about 10 hours. My advice is be there early based on what occurred in Portland. The last time, I would say be there as early as possible. All right, this should be interesting. Harlot?
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. Dear Art, welcome back, Art. It seems to me that Harlot has solved her guilt and identity crisis. The belief of Satan and hell is a crock. It is an excuse for all the wrong she has caused in this world. Mm. How do you react to that?
I react to that by saying these words. I and I alone am to blame for all my sin, for all my actions, and all my dirty deeds. Done dirt cheap. I and I alone must suffer the consequences thereof. Mr. Bell, I for years have been asked that question, and people just don't seem to be able to grasp the outright fact that I am able to boldly state my damnation. Mm-hmm. I am not guilty of a crisis. I am guilty of my words. I am guilty of my actions. Mm-hmm. I am guilty to be sentenced to eternal death. Said and done. And I freely accept it. I have had a lot of traumatic events in my life that have, yes, they have swayed me in one way or the other, like the death of my son, Mr. Mm-hmm. Bell.
Sure.
But just because of the death of my son, I don't hang this, God, it's your fault. The death of my son was meant to be. I wake up sometimes, Mr. Bell, with a longing for my baby, for my 5-year-old child that was taken away from me by my husband, who I am no longer with. By his hands, he took the life of my child, and I will never forgive him for that. He is no longer on this earth now, and I will never forgive him for that act. But that did not thrust me into this satanic belief of mine. This is something that I longed for even as a child. It was my birthright. There was a time when me and my brother, I'll never forget this, we were on a trip one time, and he was praying to God, and we were young, Mr. Bell, and I got down by him on my knees, and my big bro, you know, years older than I and so forth, and was looking at me, and I was sitting there, and I said, you know, my little prayers, and when I got through saying it, just out of nowhere, I went, "Hell, Satan, hell, Satan." He jumped up off the floor, and he looked at me like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I looked up at him, and I just went, "I don't know." And I ran and crawled in my bed, and I threw the covers up over my head out of embarrassment. It was something I didn't even plan. It was something that was just so, it just happened, you know, bang, right there. It just happened. Mm-hmm.
Here's another fax.
Yes.
This is the most important question you could ever ask the harlot.
Ooh.
Ask her, how will God, in the end time, smite Satan, the devil, and all his followers? She will not know the answer.
he will smite us down in the end. When the angel comes down from heaven with the keys in his hand, and those keys will be the keys of the bottomless pit that angel will open. First, he would be cast there for 1,000 years and placed there. And then the angels would come down and loose him. And for 1,000 years, for a little season, he will be able to roam once again in order to establish the satanic rebellion on earth, greater than ever anyone could ever fathom right now. And in the end, fire shall come out of the mouth of God, and it shall devour us. Satan shall be cast and thrown into the pit where the Antichrist and the false prophet already are.
Actually, I think you did get it right. The answer is that in less than a blink of an eye, all the evil that they have done unto mankind will be thrust upon them, burning them, and leaving them only the pain and hell that they have created for others. Their karma will be complete.
And that is absolutely true, and we fully accept it.
Well, I think you gave the right answer. First-time caller line. First-time callers call area 702-727-1222. Okay, we're going to have to start all over again. The one thing we don't want you to do is to put your last name on the air, dear. So
okay.
Let's begin again. Your name is?
Tara.
Tara. And where are you, Tara?
Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
The home of Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a practicing druid. First, I'd like to say I appreciate her honesty. I understand that there's a balance on this planet between good and evil, and I respect her decision. And I believe her, because there's a lot of people who claim to be Satanists, but they're just drug addicts and they're trying to rebel.
That's not what you're hearing from her.
Right. Right. I don't believe magic is evil, though. Because I choose God. I don't believe in Jehovah or Jesus necessarily. I think he was a prophet, a very intelligent person. I use magic as a tool to better my surroundings, to improve myself. And I believe God resides in nature, so I'm not really going against him.
Where, though, do you think that power comes from?
Like I said, God resides in nature. And God is in with all people, and I draw from that which is in me, that is a part of God.
Is what she says possible, Harlot, or is she fooling herself?
Well, I will be honest. Is her name Tara?
Mm-hmm.
Tara?
Yes.
With all due respect, may I ask your age, please?
I'm 21.
21. Oh, I remember when I was 21.
Mm.
Tara?
Yes.
With all due respect, keep going that way, hon. I hope you keep believing it, and I hope that you never sway from your faith, because I will welcome your presence in that unholy cup of tea, if you will, that we will sip together in fire and brimstone. And let me finish, please.
Okay.
If you search your scripture, now I can understand, the human race has always ran. We're a race of runners just as much as we are a race of barbarians. We run from reality. You sound like to me that you are running because you're not willing to walk out on a limb, and below that limb there is nothing. And to hang on it and to believe that there is a one true God and a one true devil.
Yes.
The scripture says that anything, witchcraft, astrology, and so on and so on, it's in the New Testament, hon, is not of God.
What I am confused with is you sound like you believe that the Bible was written by God. Okay.
Now listen to me. That is my mission, is to confuse people.
Yeah,
that is my mission, because the more people I confuse, and if they die confused, and all of a sudden they give up their ghost, and they die, and they do not ask for repentance, then my mission is successful. That's all I set out to do. You can do your little witchcraft. You can play your little games. You can use all your little toys. But
no.
The bottom line is it, hon, is that my mission is to keep you happy. Satan keeps you happy.
See, I know
Satan,
the power
wants you
is
to
not
believe
in
it.
The ritual. You can use as many crystals and stacks as you want to.
I don't use those.
But no, a lot of those Wiccans do, and they think that's where their power comes from doing this and that just
they
right.
Do. Yes, they
That's
do.
Not where the power is at.
And they're blinded by Satan, and
okay.
if Satan keeps blinding
and I know
them,
right now,
power to it.
I know right now both sides are sniffing each other out,
but
and we're just drawing the lines.
Well, hon, the lines that we're going to draw are these. We will clean the field of the metal in order to establish the ultimate battleground between God and Satan. Everyone else in the middle will be not only not crushed by the hand of God, but will be crushed by Satan. We want to destroy the middle, wipe it out, and in the end, you will be crushed in order for us to establish the battleground to take on God face to face.
I do have a question. What so do you think there are only Christians and Satanists? What about Hindus?
Ma'am,
who are in for the light.
Let me tell you something. This is nothing new. There is only one evil and one good. And until the world begins to wake up to it, hey, that's just the way it is. I prefer people who proclaim God over people who practice an evil art and not accept the Father of it. I'd rather sit down and have a decent dinner and a casual conversation with a preacher of a holy faith than to sit down with people who practice magic but are not willing to accept the consequences nor the Father, the one true Father of all evil. And magic is evil in any way you look at it. If you, any way, hon, it is not a natural thing. It is not a natural human trait to want to practice magic. It's not. You have to be willing to accept the consequences of what you're doing.
I clearly understand what you're saying. From Dale in Atlanta, the following. Art, I really admire your guest. She seems to have a sort of sexual magnetism, almost erotic.
Ooh.
Is this also one of her entrapping characteristics?
Yes, it is. I will, especially young virgins. I love to find a young guy out there, sway my magic upon him, place him under my spell, allure him with fantasy of sexual fulfillment.
Well, then I guess I don't have to really ask you this next question. We've heard Patsy's beliefs. Now, what things does she do to advance Satan's cause? That clearly was one of them. What else?
Another one to advance Satan's cause is, like I said, I constantly bombard the Christian faith. I love, let me give you an example. I love calling the 700 Club telemarketers, the people who are on their little prayer lines. I like giving them the time of day, and believe you me, I do. Another thing that I do is that when someone is an alcoholic, okay?
Yes.
I'm not going to sit there and tell them no more. Why don't you stop? You want more beer? Hey, baby, I'll give you more beer. Someone sitting out under a shade tree saying, hey, ma'am, you got $2. Here, here's five. Go buy 2 quarts of beer. Don't buy one. Buy two. Drink yourself into oblivion. As long as you're drunk, as long as I can keep people drunk, that keeps them away from God. As long as I can walk down the street and see a friend of mine, which will remain nameless, working at a little store, who had worked at a little store up from my street, who preferred, I tried to put a knock on him and tried to get him in. Well, sorry, he preferred my fiancé over me. I told him flat out, keep doing it. Be the biggest abomination unto God that you can. I'm all for you. Anything, Art, anything at all, any way at all, it doesn't matter. Like I said, I would lick a dog. I would make a person believe that, hey, guess what? Satan is joyful, pleasant. There's no hell. If that's what it takes to keep them away from God and to take them to hell, so be it.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Harlot.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. My name is Sor SD, and I belong to the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh.
And I can't believe you guys sound so clear. anyways, what I wanted to say, I totally agree with her. And the younger caller that called in just before me, It was, I mean, exactly. I remember when I was 21, and, you know, you just don't really understand, I don't think, what life is all about at that age, really. But what I want to get to the point is I joined the order about 3 years ago, and I'm still in the outer order. I'm a Theorchis grade. And are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
Hello.
Is she?
I'm here.
Are you familiar with that order?
Vaguely. Can I ask you first what part of Hawaii that you're in?
No, well, see, the order is in Fontana, California, actually. The temple is.
No, I was asking you what part of Hawaii do you live in?
Oh, Honolulu.
Oh, great. My mother lived there for quite some time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Anyways,
I've never been there yet, but I will be there soon. One of these days I'm getting
there. Yeah,
it's
super hot here right now.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, what I was going to ask you is, I mean, like, we practice, like, ancient Egyptian high magic, and I do believe that, you know, the order tends to think that, you know, they're on, like, a godly path and everything.
Oh, you're...
But to me, I know that, you know, because, I mean, we're not supposed to. We're taught, like, different, in each grade you progress, you're taught different things, the Western mysteries, different rituals and so on. And it's just like, I've done evil things to people. I've almost killed someone before who's hurt me very badly. And you know what? It's, you know, I just felt that this person deserved what they got, you know?
That's right.
And it's just, you know, and I'll fully take responsibility of it. You know, I had to do what I had to do.
And that's
just how it goes sometimes,
you
know?
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
What did they do to you? Just quickly, please.
Well,
you don't have to go into detail, hon, but was it physical violence?
They totally betrayed me and everything.
Right. Well, you see, hon, in that situation, I would have to find justification in order to death by betrayal. Now, if they gave me that justification, then death is what they would receive. I have it almost. I have, through supernatural power, taken life, and I will continue to do it if I am justified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as physical retaliation, it must be measured exactly what type of physical retaliation do I take out on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this person, say, were to have beaten you or caused a physical harm to fall upon you, well, believe you me, my sword would have went through their body, and they would not exist in the physical life that we know.
Well, this person caused me very much
inner
pain, very much inner emotional pain.
And you
pain.
Were justified, hon. But believe you me, I will say this before we go on. I hope you remain in that faith. Just one day, sometime, somewhere, wake up to the unholy master of hell, because the Egyptian faith caused great chaos in the lives of God's people in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And believe you me, hon, you're on the right track. Just forget the nonsense. Open yourself up for an eternal evil that lasts forever, that you will never fulfill your entire power. Until you really let yourself lay into the arms of the unholy master of
hell. Well, I don't know if I'll totally go totally in that direction. I'm very neutral.
I understand.
I just tell myself, hey, if something gets me mad and bent up, then I have to take care of it. Then I
got
to do it.
You got all the natural ability there, hon. You're on the right track. And, you know, all I'm saying to you is that one day in your life, give it a shot. If you do, fine. If you don't, well, I'll see you where I'm going.
I have looked into it, and, you know, I was trying to get into the OTO order, which is what Aleister Crowley had he first started the Golden Dawn, and he broke off into the OTO.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a correspondence course. You have to, like, live near the temple.
I will say this before it goes off the air. Bible Belt, get ready. The most unholy book ever written is the Holy Bible. Search it out.
Well, I believe it. I was raised Catholic.
All right, you two, listen, we've got to hold it there. Harlot, hold on.
Yes,
we've got news at the top of the hour, and we will return. Absolutely fascinating. Never heard anything like this before. I wonder if you have. We're headed toward the top of the hour. I want to remind you, book signing Saturday, Encinitas, Barnes & Noble, 1040 North El Camino Real in Encinitas. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. That's 1-800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers, dial Art at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Once again, here I am. One of my last opportunities to tell you, book signing, Encinitas, Barnes & Noble, Saturday, 10 o'clock, beginning at 10 o'clock, 1040 North El Camino Real. I truly suggest you get there early if possible. We're going to get back to Harlot, the very disconcerting Harlot. Disconcerting why? Disconcerting because she's right about a lot of things. She's right about all those in the middle. In the end, there'll probably be two groups left. Harlot will be in one, some of you in the other. And there'll be a great middle ground. The middle ground probably will disappear, and then there'll be a war. The only question I have is why she has chosen the particular side she has chosen, and we'll ask that in a moment. All right. Harlot, are you there?
I'm here, Art.
All right. Mm-hmm. I want to do a couple of things. One, read you this first fax.
Okay.
If Harlot is a true Satanist, she will publicly repudiate Jesus Christ and all his works, stating that he is not her savior. If she will not do this, then she still believes in Christ and is not a complete Satanist.
May I begin?
Begin.
To the entire world, I rebuke Christ as my savior. I rebuke him. I stand against him, for I am a worker of wickedness, iniquities, and love the fulfillment of sinful joy. I deny the cross. I deny the crucifixion. For Jesus walked not this earth in the flesh. I deny him. I will never, ever pick up his cross. He can carry it himself. I will never, ever proclaim him as my Savior.
All right.
And I did what I did in that church, Mr. Bell. I did out of virtue to know what I must have known at that time.
All right. I buy what you're saying,
okay.
That you believe that,
yes.
And that is your firm belief.
Thank you.
Facts 2 follows it up. Dear Art, okay, I believe she knows and accepts that she is on the path to hell and eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
Who in their right mind would choose pain? Pain hurts. Pain is not comfortable, especially for eternity. That is the only part I just don't understand. From Steve in State Line, Nevada.
Steve, you're close to me. I love pain. I inflict pain on my own body, and it motivates me well. I have many scars on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Each scar represents an act carried out against my victim. Mr. Bell, I would rather be tormented. I would rather burn and feel that heat to have my body have done horrible things done to it in the kingdom of hell than to step one foot or even give God a blink to enter his kingdom. I hope that when I go before him, that when those books are opened, my greatest dream come true is when they open that Lamb's Book of Life that they call it, I am not found there. I wish not to be, and I will not be. And you brought up a question yourself, Art, that I am very glad you were going to ask me why. Correct? Why
right.
I would choose to live this way.
That's right, sure.
Okay. I love fulfilling my human desires. if you can grasp what I'm saying here, I love to stack my treasures on earth. I love to follow my human nature in all its most animalistic ways,
mm-hmm.
in this most brutal, most sexual, most the fulfillment that it gives me is almost indescribable. I love to be able to perform the unholy acts that I perform on my own body. I love to caress that loving and satisfying feeling of physical fulfillment. In the Christian faith, I find that many people forego the natural human desires. See, I am the type of person that if Dan or whoever it might be, I don't even know a Dan, down the road decided to commit adultery, I would be there with open arms seeking the fulfillment of that natural human animal element.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. A lot of people want to talk to you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Harlot. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, my name is Naomi, and I'm 29 years old.
Where are you, Naomi?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Hi. What I wanted to ask you is, you know, you're no different than a lot of Baptist preachers right here in Alabama. And, you
really?
Know, why can't you believe that God comes to different people in different cultures all over the world?
I didn't say that. I did not proclaim that. God approaches himself how he wishes to be approached. What I meant and what I'm going to say is that any faith, period, I don't care what it is, that proclaims God is offset immediately themselves as my enemy. The people in the middle, not so much.
Okay, mm-hmm. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I am a Wiccan. I have been a Wiccan a long time.
I know that.
My mother was what you are, and I was raised in North Carolina in a cult right outside of Charlotte, and it was horrible. I lived a horrible life.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was completely foul. She mm-hmm. beat me and my sister. She was a horrible mother.
Did she have justification in that beating?
No, me and my sister learned to walk on eggshells at a very early age.
Okay, well, a lot of that, hon, there are people in this world. I have known people with a godly faith that have went overboard with abuse.
Okay, but you seem like you're the type of person you would love that.
Ma'am,
you would just love that.
Ma'am, listen to me one second. I had a child that was brutally taken from my arms and from my life.
Well, I had a sister
okay.
practically taken the same way from my mother.
Okay. So we have a common ground here. The only thing that I can see here in the differentiate, to make this different, is that if my son would have been given his father justification, so be it. But my son did not.
How can a five-year-old give anybody any justification? How
ma'am,
can a small child give anybody any
ma'am,
justification?
I know where you're going here. I know where you're going here, and I'm going to tell the entire world right now. I do not, I repeat, I do not harm children. I believe firmly that my son, if he had given justification to my ex, I didn't say he did, if he could have, if he would have, so be it.
Her question was, how could a five-year-old give such a justification?
Well, I put it to you simple. I had a five-year-old child one time take a knife and cut me. And if it had not been for the simple fact...
What did you do to that child?
Nothing. They were playing around. The child ran by me, ma'am, and we began just goofing around just like... adults do with children sometimes, just having a little fun, and all of a sudden I felt a cut on my back. And
well, maybe that's the parent's fault, not that child. A five-year-old, you were right there. You shouldn't have allowed that five-year-old to have a knife in its hand.
Ma'am, I didn't
if I saw a five-year-old, if my five-year-old was running
okay.
around, I would
okay.
snatch the knife away and paddle her honey or put
uh-huh.
her in the corner, and
right.
she wouldn't have a knife. Any five-year-old with a knife, that shouldn't be allowed.
Well, that's not my problem. That was the parent's problem, and, you know, that's not my problem how people raise their children.
You know, I don't understand how you could see children running around with knives and not say anything to the parents. But see, what I'm asking,
ma'am,
is...
you didn't give me a chance to explain. Yes, I did confront the parents on the problem. I did. And you know what I told them? If they don't do anything about it the next time, if anything like that happens, I will carry out my justification on that child myself.
On that five-year-old child?
You bet your butt I will. Now, that child is a loving child with respect.
You would behead it?
Ma'am, it is not time for that. It is not time for that. I have never laid a child over an altar and did anything barbaric like that in my entire life. And nor would I ever do it without justification. And what I will tell you...
There is no justification for killing a child.
Let me tell you something. I understand your point of view, okay, and I'm taking it, okay? If the apocalypse, and if everything was now, if right now that leaf, if you will, was turned over, and everything began right now, any child born of a Christian family would be considered enemy regardless of age. It is a fact. If you can't live with it, maybe a gray will stop by and take you off to Pluto. I don't know. But that is a fact, hon.
Well, another question is,
yes,
you believe in astral projection, right?
Hmm?
You believe in astral projection?
To a degree.
Okay, well,
I know
Art, I listened to just one of his rerun shows while he was on vacation,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about astral projection.
Mm-hmm. I've had many people try that on me before, and I just chew it up, spit it out, and send it back.
Okay, well, astral projection is a very natural thing. I mean, you can just lay down. Okay, you understand the astral astral projection is natural.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't magic be the same way? Why can't you sit down and relax and communicate with the world, with the forces? Why do you keep saying, well, God this, God that, God's this horrible being? He's not this old man sitting up on a throne.
I didn't say
he's
that.
He's not a personality that we can even understand.
All right, you're hearing from a Wiccan. She's going back to the argument that magic is natural. Why can't, she says, magic be a natural thing?
Well,
not good, not evil, just a force, like the ability to get out of your body. That's what she's asking.
Okay. I can respect that. Ma'am, you there?
No, she's not there.
Oh, okay, she left. Okay. The reason is, Art, somewhere down the road in our lives, we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice at one time or another. To those who make a choice, I respect them. For those who do not make a choice, I have no respect. It is a natural thing
mm-hmm.
that you will never fulfill the full potential of your power until you accept the Father of it.
So you have more contempt for those who have not made a choice than those who have, no matter which way it is.
Respect. At least I can look at a Christian and say, okay,
yep.
At least you got guts.
Okay, I think I can respect
right.
that.
At least you got guts.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Harlot.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
This is hard for me to say. I'm at a point in my life where I could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard her at the beginning of the program say that she enjoys taking people to hell.
Taking them to Satan.
Right, to meet your master.
And he does the rest.
Right.
I can't take no one to hell. It's not in my
Well,
power.
You said that. Your job is to trick them and
oh yeah, to trick them and
to
lead them and lead them astray,
witchcraft and
yep.
whatnot. Well, I'm at a point now that if I could make a deal with the devil
mm-hmm.
for a life of prosperity
mm-hmm.
and wealth, I'll go with you because I'm struggling day to day
mm-hmm.
and I'm tired of it
mm-hmm.
and I watch my kids go without food and I'm ready to go. Can you do
that's
that?
Uncalled for. That having your kids go without food is uncalled for. That,
can you make a deal or tell me how to make a deal?
You betcha I'll tell you how.
Or can you make the deal for me?
First thing you need to do, sir, is come under one rational decision. And that decision must be made with a clear mind, a clear conscience. Can I ask you a question? Do you drink a little bit, sir, when you have the opportunity?
I drink a whole lot.
Okay, I kind of figured so. 1 week, go without drinking anything. Let the reality of not having alcohol begin to impact your life.
I've done that too.
Okay, okay. All you've got to do is begin to change your own ways. You must look at yourself as having vital existence in this world, that your existence in this world is more important than anything, period.
I already believe that.
Okay, if you believe that, you're on the right track.
But what I'm asking you, excuse me,
go ahead.
Can you practice your witchcraft to send me these riches?
All I need, sir, and I'll tell you what, if there is any way that before you leave the air, Art Bell can get, and believe you me, I'm only up and up on this, if Mr. Bell would be so kind to do so, I will give you my phone number, you give me your phone number, we'll talk off the air, and we'll go from there. How about that? Would that be okay with you, sir?
Sounds good to me.
Well, I'm sure it sounds good to you, but I am going to intervene here, and I'm not going to put two people together for that purpose.
Okay, I understand your point, Miss Art. I understand your point, and I can respect that. Sir, is there any way? Let me see here. There is a way. Let me go here a minute. What part of California you live in, sir?
Modesto, California.
Oh, I am familiar with Modesto. I have been all through that place. I even slept under a bridge in under Modesto. Not too far from, right basically on the river right there that runs down there where all the walnut trees are. I think you're pretty much familiar with that area. And I slept under a bridge down there in order to sprinkle unholy deeds around that place. I'll tell you what I will do. I will connect with you, and I will approach my master, and I will do a lot of things here. You're going to begin to feel strange presence around you very, very soon.
You're going to contact me?
No, sir. I'm going to send you what you need.
There you go.
Okay.
And when you feel the presence, when you feel that strange...
When should I expect this presence?
In the very near future. Promise me, in the very near future.
Are you talking weeks or months or...
Days.
Days. Well, Art, I'll let you know.
Let me know. All right, Harlot, hold on. We'll be right back. I'm not sure somebody who's already asking for that needs Harlot's help. I think when you once you ask, the old line, you should be careful what you ask for, is probably fully in force. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Taking your calls on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. That's area code 702-727-1295. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and it's great to be here. This is a very, very, very disturbing kind of topic on the one hand, because I really didn't expect what I'm getting. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but it isn't what I expected. But then again, life rarely is what you expect. And we'll get back to Harlot, or Patsy, in a moment. Patsy?
Yes, I'm here.
Your son was taken from you by your ex, if I understand what I've heard tonight correctly.
Yes.
Your son at 5 years of age surely did not deserve what he got.
No, he did nothing. All my son did was come down with the flu, and it's a long story, Arbel. He took him from me at a very early age.
I understand that. So your son, without a doubt, has gone to God.
In my mind, he has gone to hell at right?
How can you say that? Why? Based on what?
Based on the simple fact that when he was born, I performed a certain ritual over him. That basically, I told Satan, and in this faith we don't ask, we tell, to beg an audience with God that this child be that of the devil, of himself, that he could use this child in a most unholy way, and to do and to raise this child into this faith, you know, of course with my help, of course. And
Patsy, hasn't it occurred to you that if you really did that, that he took you up on your offer?
And I'm happy that he did. That would just, when I go into my internal damnation, my son would be there. You know, Art, when you called me that afternoon and everything, I said that I would desecrate the birthplace of Christ.
You said that, yes.
And believe you me, I will, even at the consequences of my own death, I would desecrate that place. I would virtually wait to my menstrual cycle. And when I was on my period, and I virtually would blood that place, and I would perform a most unholy dance over it. When Jesus came, that was, in my opinion, the end of everything. We are suffering from his presence on this planet yet today. The church itself is nothing more than a gossip hall of money. The church foundation, all the churches combined, could solve all hunger on this planet in one day. They could do magnificent works on this planet. They do not do them. I find it hard for such a loving, compassionate belief to allow little sufferings on this planet that they could stop. They could put their assets together and stop them. But no, they let it fall on the shoulders of governments, politicians, and so forth and so on. And nothing really ever gets done. A lot of the political issues and religious issues are nothing new. They've been argued as far back as you can find a president. They're just argued in different ways, different techniques. It almost comes to the point that they don't really want to solve a damn thing. Because if they solve too many problems, there would be a lesser need of them. The church can consider themselves fortunate that Satan is the best friend they have ever had. They make millions off scaring people to death, virtually scaring people that we got to get to the church on time, or we're going to go to hell.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Harlot Patsy.
Hi, Patsy.
Hi there, sir.
Hi, Art. It's a great show. Let me come online by saying that, first of all, I am a diehard Christian.
Good. Here we go.
From a standpoint, if you would allow me, Patsy, I would like to say a few things in my belief, and then you're more than welcome to respond to them.
I'd be more than happy.
I've been listening to this show for about 2 hours, and this older lady, I don't know your age.
32.
I'm sorry?
32.
Okay. Actually, the same age I am, has been using this to spread her belief of Satanism, or whatever she likes to call it. And I think for a point, there needs to be a brought into a Christian sense in here and have a true Christian word brought in, because it seems like as I've been listening, there has been more of the opposites calling in for various different reasons. So from that aspect...
Not really opposites. There have been Wiccans who have been calling in, but
right.
Wiccans are kind of in the middle. They seem to worship nature. They certainly don't worship the devil. And I think that what we have here with Patsy, I'm now beginning to believe more and more and more as the hours have gone by, we have the real McCoy.
I give her full credit for being the real McCoy.
Yeah.
Don't doubt her in the slightest. And unfortunately, she and I agree that the middle ground people are going nowhere quickly. For that reason, as a Christian, it's as the Bible says, it's either hot water or cold water. There is no lukewarm.
That's the one place where you two are going to agree, and now it's going to go downhill from there.
But respectfully, Respectfully, I would like to say a few things. First of all, I think the problem with a lot of young Christians is they feel that they look at it as a power struggle, and in a sense it's a power struggle from good and evil. But when you think of the word power, it naturally comes from evil. You see the movies, you read the scriptures, you read history, and evil deeds seem to be the most powerful deeds. Christianity, the life of living a godly life, is a more laid-back, a quiet belief, a trust in the fact that God's word is word. But there are also Christian warriors, and from that stance, I think the problem with this is, and no disrespect towards her beliefs, from a human being standpoint, from a Christian Satanism, of course we don't agree, and I won't even get into that. We don't have time. But the fact is, there are strong Christians out here. And Patsy, just for your information, I listened to when you said you grew up, when you were young, you drew the pentagram in the sandbox. There are also stories such as mine. The opposite is true. When I was 3 years old, before I was even old enough to understand what Christ was or who Satan was, my mother walked out in the backyard and found me burying a parakeet that had died and saying a prayer over it before I had even known what was going on. When I was 7 years old, I heard my parents praying God's prayer. After hearing it one time, from then on, I have quoted it word for word. In the same sense, when I meet people, when I walk up on people, people tell me that there is a quiet calm to me. I've had pastors tell me, and when I'm saying pastors, the difference here is we agree on two things, actually. First of all, I also agree that in an entity, the church as a central location is, how should I say this with tact? I don't agree with 90% of the so-called churches in the world today. The reason I say that is it seems to me like as time has gone on, churches are in for more of what they can get as far as money-wise. The Word of God should be number one. That is what a church is about. In the scriptures, a church is when two or more get together and speak of the Word of Christ. The fact of people getting together with 500, thousands, 3,000, giving all the money out, not knowing where half the money goes to, I don't believe in that. I have visited probably hundreds of churches in my lifetime from all different denominations to find my way. I am at ease with myself because I have a one-on-one relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. It's very strong. It's very subtle. But I have no doubt in my mind where I'm going. And with that being said, to add a little humor into this, the last Christian that came on here and said something to Patsy, to you, about he was going to say a prayer.
Uh-huh.
And you responded, "Were if the apocalypse was coming today, I would have to behead you." Am I correct on that?
Absolutely.
Hello? I'm sorry?
Absolutely.
Ma'am, I would draw the line on my neck for you and bear it for you. Have a nice night, people.
Oh, I figured he'd leave before I got a chance to say something. That's typically Christian. Art, can I comment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sir, I know you're still listening, which I hope you are. I can respect slightly what you just said, but there's one thing you hit on that just made my entire night laxed. There's nothing better to a satanic person than a relaxed Christian. The more relaxed you are, the lesser you impact the world. The lesser you impact the world, the greater we serve our purpose, because that's the less people you affect to go to heaven, opening the door for us to come in and me to infect their life, plant a seed in their head, and the ultimate goal, straight to hell. I do thank you for being a lax Christian. We need more of you.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Harlot.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Harlot.
Good morning. Unholy morning.
Where are you, pray tell?
I'm in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Harlot, I am a Dianic witch. And I'd like to go back to what you said about magic not being not natural and a supernatural force. The way I view magic and the way it works, it's a force that science has yet to quantify. Think about it. 200 years ago, the way we were talking would seem magical. Yesterday,
200 years ago, the way we were talking, they would come to my door, and I and Art would be
burned in the town square,
and I would love it.
Don't rule it out yet.
I'm not.
The point I'm making is that today's science is yesterday's magic. Magic is a force like electricity. I can use it to run my computer, or I could kill somebody with it.
Okay.
It's how you use it that counts.
Right. And let me tell you something. It's the responsibility taken, therefore, thereof also counts. See, I will kill, and I will take the total blame for it. Art, I want to say something here. Art, I really want to say something here.
Okay. Let her say something, ma'am.
Oh, sure. Okay. I was agreeing with her.
I want to say something here. If I were to go out tomorrow and commit an act of cold-blooded murder, I would go into a courtroom without, well, they would appoint a defense, naturally, but I would go up in front of the judge, ma'am, and look that person right in the eye and said, end of trial. I have done what I've done. Now you carry out what you must carry out. There will be no trial. I am guilty. I would boldly stand and say in front of a jury that I killed them. There is nothing, no second guessing, no games, no OJ. I can tell you that for sure. I would boldly admit
I believe you.
Oh, would, Mr. Bell.
I agree with you. You do have to take responsibilities for your actions in this life, definitely.
And Satan is, you know, and Satan is my master, and everything that I do, it's like if I curse someone, I let it be known. Let it be recorded on this night. Let it be written in the books that must be that this must be recorded in, that I, Harlot, I, Patsy, have committed this evil act of magic, and I will be held accountable. I must be held accountable. I must receive no mercy. In retaliation, I must be more hateful than my enemy. I must always be more hateful, more conniving, and more evil. The more retaliation that I bring upon myself, it increases the evil. Hell, Satan, that's what I'm all about.
I guess I have a question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm pagan myself, and I've always viewed Satanism as a radically dissenting Christian sect because you follow the same belief system. It's just you work the opposite side of the street.
Ma'am, it is nowhere near the same. Let me give you a perfect example. In the Christian church, they do this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, and so on. Blessed they may be in the eyes of God. Unblessed, unholy blessed they are, because they will be trodden upon and stomped down by cloven hooves and our army. It's different, hon. It's totally different. Yes, it is totally different.
Yes,
the Christian church does not uphold. The Christian church does not uphold one iota. They do not uphold magic. They do not uphold the practice of any art that is not coming directly from their word. They do not uphold the Christian realm, and our realm are two different. You slap me, I'm going to knock your cotton picking head off. You stomp my foot, I'm going to cut your foot off. It is totally different, hon. Totally different, taken to the extreme. Extreme violence, extreme brutality, extreme evil. That's why I have got Wiccans right here in this town, a beautiful little quiet town of Salt Lake City. They all talk, but they don't want to encounter me face to face. Because, hon, I will tell you now, when it gets down to the white on the rice, I don't play the game. I'm not going to, you know, goof around with little incantations and little spells and little hexes and little different things. The bottom line of it is they cross my path and they provoke me to justified, unholy reasons. I will kill through supernatural powers if I choose it. If I do not choose it, I will carry out brutality. My coven will, my bloodlord will, my warlocks will carry out a brutality of medieval proportions without any remorse. I have warlocks, son, that will stand there and wait for a cop to get there. They won't run.
Okay. We've got very little time.
Art?
Yes.
can I do something, please, before we go off the air, please?
Oh, yes, yes.
One last thing I want to say is, hell, Satan, great is his power. I understand the freedom of choice. I understand your position, Art. You're carrying out your destiny in this world. Hell, Satan, we're glad to have you. I'm glad to have you on the airways because it does give a sense of reality to things that are coming in the quickening and so on. But world, Satan exists. I exist. As long as Satan exists, evil exists. I hope you Wiccans all don't do a damn thing because the middle will be crushed. That way the real Armageddon can begin. Art, I would like to thank you for the time. Hell, Satan, great is his immortal power, the primordial son of God himself.
Well, good night, Harlot. Thank you for being
here. I'll take one more phone call if you will.
No, we're about out of time here.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, America. And Art, I would like to be calling around and just dropping in sometime and saying hi.
All right.
That'd be fine.
Take care.
You too.
All right. I'm going to have to do a lot of thinking about all I heard. It's kind of strange. Early in the evening, I really thought that we were being put on. As the hours wore on, it became absolutely obvious that we were not being put on, that she believes exactly what she's saying. In a way, I think that it did Christians a great service to hear this. In a way, with regard to those who have not chosen, those who are in the middle, and I count myself among those, by the way, I think she's absolutely correct. That is not to say in any way that I agree with her. But with regard to those who waffle, those who are in the middle, there is a great area of agreement between those who would call themselves devout Christians and, you know, our friend Hail Satan here. So, very provocative indeed. And I'm going to have to do some very serious thinking about what I've heard over these hours, as I'm sure perhaps you will as well. Fascinating. And as you can see, I will continue to do this and explore all kinds and forms of talk radio and ideology that many may disagree with or be offended by. And this night was no different. In fact, this night was really, in many ways, a prime example of that exploration. So there you have it, and that actually is going to wrap up the week for me. I want to remind my audience that I will be in Encinitas. This is the one book signing I'm going to do for my book, The Quickening. I find it interesting as well that all sides seem to agree on the fact of the quickening. Both sides. It is occurring. Perhaps it is marking the day that all of you were talking about with Harlot, with Patsy. That's one other area that both sides seem to agree on. We are quickening. That's the book. I'll be signing copies of it in the one book signing that I plan to do. It'll be in Encinitas at Barnes & Noble, beginning at about 10 o'clock in the morning. Barnes & Noble, located at 1040 North El Camino Real. 1040 North El Camino Real in Encinitas. 10 o'clock Saturday morning. See you there. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell with a lot of thinking to do. Good night.